Hey, let's start the show.
Welcome to This Is Only a Test. It's CES Day 2, January 11th, 2012, the official podcast of Tested.com. Smith, we have a dignified, rarefied panel of guests today. Well, the normal crew. Norman Chan's here. Norm, how you doing?
Hi, doing all right.
Gary Witt is here.
Hello.
How you doing, Gary?
I'm good.
Both of you sound really tired, probably for different reasons.
I feel tired from being so awesome all the time.
Well, that's the same reason as
yeah.
Mine, then.
Okay. All right.
That was a terrible high five.
That was the whitest high five I've ever seen.
We almost high-fived Norm right in the face.
Yeah, that would be good. Just like just slap him on his side.
On either side. Yeah, both eardrums
burst. Didn't want to do it from now on. Let's do that. Make
his ears
ring.
New policy. Yeah. CES Day 2, it is on the cusp of over. It was a good day on the floor. We saw a ton. We have a massive list of stuff to go through.
Yeah.
We have limited time with the internet's own Gary Witta, though, unfortunately.
Well, it's more like a real talk show this way, that, you know, you have, like, I can be the first guest, and I'll leave, and other revolving guests, you've got other guests coming, right?
Some time,
it's going to be great.
Wes over here, we may have some special guests.
Special mystery guests.
From outside the world of Tested. Friends of the site.
Oh.
Friends of
I didn't know
the
we had
very intriguing.
Matt Bragg is here. He's working chat right now.
Woo!
Yesterday.
Matt Bragg, how you feeling?
Doing okay.
Better.
We were working on pronunciation with you earlier today.
Oh yes, yes we were to beat the Canadianness out of me.
No beatings. No beatings.
Felt a little bit like verbal abuse.
If you want a beating, I will show you a beating, sir.
No, Dad. No.
What? say mouse.
Mouse.
Say house.
You couldn't do it.
House.
He couldn't do it.
Say moose.
Moose.
Very good. Thank you. That's all we need. Let's. We have so much stuff to talk about. I have a list, but first...
It's show notes.
We usually don't do this in Vegas. Usually we just wing it and kind of it works itself out. Gary, you had quite an eventful day today. While we were slaving away on the floor, 18 hours, suffering heartily, you had an adventure at Blackjack, I understand.
Well, a minor adventure.
It was something to break the tedium of your existence.
Well, I was up quite late last night, up until about 5, playing blackjack with my friend John. He and I are old friends, and we're Vegas buddies, and so we were playing quite late last night. I did quite well. He took a beating.
He was doing well earlier.
Yeah, but then he didn't know when to start. It actually got so bad that I went over to the cashier's cage and got one of those Gamblers Anonymous brochures and said, knowing when to stop, and I gave it to him because I felt like he needed to read it.
Oh, it wasn't, you weren't even trolling him.
I couldn't get him out of there. And then eventually I got him out there at 5 and he said, I'm going to get a cab. I went to bed, and then like an hour later I got a text from him saying, I couldn't get a cab, which is bullshit because it's Las Vegas, there's cabs everywhere.
Yeah.
So I couldn't get a cab, so I went back to the table. I'm winning again.
He needs an accountability buddy.
You got to know when
to
stop.
We're not there for him.
So I slept. We had plans, as you recall, to have breakfast at Planet Daily's morning. I slept right through that.
That's all right.
I didn't get out of bed until around 11. You know, got my shit together, went downstairs to the casino, started playing blackjack. And, you know, I had a fairly inauspicious day. I definitely played long enough to get comped some nice meals. My player's card.
Wait, more than just.
My player's card is glowing with electronic
coupons.
Much better than bullshit BOGO pizza slice coupons.
Must be nice.
I'm pretty good at Planet Dailies over there. They treat me like royalty now.
Yeah, all right.
They treat everyone like royalty at Planet Dailies.
Yeah, but I don't have to pay for it.
Shit. Oh, okay, that's nice.
So today I came up with a new definition for min-maxing.
Okay.
Which, you know, we all know what min-maxing means in the kind of the video game context. Yeah. But so, you know, on the blackjack table, they have a minimum bet and a maximum bet that you can make on each hand. It's usually around anything from like $10 to $25 a minimum bet.
Sure.
Yeah. And up to like $3,000 for a maximum bet.
Yeah.
Why is there an upper limit?
What's that?
Are they afraid people come down, put $5,000 in chips?
And they have a special room for those people.
Right.
People like yourself, Norm.
With the ball peen hand.
You don't want to gamble with the chuds. You want to be playing in their own private.
Oh, it's for my own protection.
Sanctuary. Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
they want to be gambling with the riffraff.
Yeah.
Some people want to gamble $5,000 a hand and not be sitting next to someone like you or me who's only playing $25, $50
a hand. Just you and Donald Trump back there.
Right. If I had that money, I would sit at the chud table,
Once in a while, put $5,000.
So the high limit room, because I asked about it, is $100 minimum, $10,000 maximum dollar table.
So it's not crazy.
Four
times.
What do you mean, not crazy?
Right, and the truth is, the real mega high rollers are actually playing Baccarat or something else.
Yeah, but it's better to be the roller at the chud table than the chud at the roller table, right?
I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
But wow. I was at a regular table today, $25 a hand, and because it was in the morning, it actually started at 10. And I got grandfathered in.
That's good.
But I was playing 25, 50 when I felt adventurous, but it was a 3,000 maximum table, and this guy that was sitting next to me came down and put down a wad of cash that was just looked like something from a fucking bank robbery movie.
Okay.
And
what did he look like?
So, yeah, paint us a word picture.
The thing that I've discovered about people is that you cannot tell how rich someone is from the way they dress. The super duper rich often don't look like they have
Zuckerberg.
Money. Zuckerberg, I imagine, being a typical example.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy looked like a regular dude, looked like a regular working dude, you know, dressed smartly, but not, you know, you don't go, oh, he must be rich,
right,
until the money comes out of his pocket.
Right.
And he sat down and he was playing, at minimum, he'd play a $500 a hand, and at maximum, he was playing $3,000 with the table maximum.
He was playing with chips. Colors that we'd never seen before.
Yeah, black and purple chips, which are the crazy ones. And,
was this here or was this someplace else?
He was here at Planet Hollywood.
Okay. Wow.
And he was sitting right next to me. And we're actually, for a long time, he and I were the only two playing. And what I like about, not in the whole casino, obviously, but at that table. And what I like about Vegas and the whole casino environment is that there's a tremendous sense of egalitarianism. Like, this guy didn't think he was better than me because he was playing bigger money. No. We're all getting the same cards. We're all in it together. We all want to win.
Yep.
Right.
We would do little fist bumps and stuff when one of us would win.
Yeah.
We don't hate. The dealer was actually super friendly.
Well,
especially to him. I mean, the pit boss was just locked onto that table because he was playing crazy money. And it was fascinating to watch, like, vicariously.
Have you seen this before?
I've never seen this level of play at such close proximity.
Okay.
And you know, he would go with the chips, and you know, you feel nervous for him.
Oh,
I'm only playing $25, but I'm actually weirdly more concerned about his hand than my own.
Oh yeah.
Because I can eat a $25 loss, and now I'd make it back on the next one. But like when he loses $3,000,
oh yeah,
or in some cases $6,900, or even more if he's doubling down and splitting his cards.
Oh.
But he was mostly winning. He got very lucky, you know. Again, he would oftentimes he would when he would bet big, he would do well. And the one hand that I had to tweet earlier today because I was so amazed by it was he went in with $3,000 and got dealt a pair of sixes,
which is shit.
Yeah, but the dealer card was also pretty weak, so they were totally splittable. Split them, got another six, split that. So he's playing three hands, three. So he's $9,000 in at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
And then each six that he hit was either a four or a five. So that makes a 10 or 11, which you're going to want to double on against a dealer four, five, or six.
Oh, and so he split and then doubled both?
He split sixes three ways and then doubled it. So he's playing six hands effectively. He had $18,000 in next to my little $25 chip. And the dealer bust and he cleaned out. He won $18,000 on that one hand.
Wow.
And I won as well. I got my $25 back. So I was pretty pleased about that. And I'm nervous because I was first in the order of play.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do anything stupid and fuck up his cards.
Yeah.
You can do that in blackjack. If you make a stupid bet, you can take someone, you can take the dealer's break card.
Oh, yeah.
You can screw up his massive hand.
Oh, yeah.
So I was being very careful not to. I was very playing by the book as much as possible.
Was he playing by the book too? Mostly.
But it's funny, you know, when you're playing at that level, the pit boss is always there. They're on the phone constantly with the upstairs, monitoring the play because it's serious money that he's playing for.
Oh, yeah.
Even to the casino, that is serious money.
Oh yeah.
He was. I played. He was in and out. He was mostly there. I sat for about 6 hours today. I took a bit of a beating. I lost a few hundred bucks today. I'll make it back tonight. It's all good. But it was fascinating to watch him play. But that was our min-maxing. I was playing the minimum bet and he was playing the maximum bet. And it was fascinating to watch.
It's gotta be.
It was like heart into, again, it's not my money. But vicariously, like your heart is in your throat. He would go in huge. He would go in real big. And he would get eights. And of course, he's got a split it, but he's got no money left on the table. So he goes back into his pocket and pulls out more money. He would lose as well. And he'd often lose those hands, and it was like sickening. But this, you know, again, when you're that rich, which I presume he must be, That's the equivalent of me playing $25. You know, it's like he's not going, oh my God, the kid's not going to go to school. He can eat that loss the same way I could eat $25.
So you got a secondhand.
But it was amazing to watch.
You got a secondhand gambling high.
Yeah, very much so.
That's interesting. I didn't know that was possible.
When he got paid off on those double down sixes, I was thrilled for him. Because it was like, you dream of rolling at that level. Yeah.
What do you tip when you win $18,000?
So this was embarrassing. You know how like sometimes when you play, you put a side bet on for the dealer for good luck?
Of course.
He was doing that consistently, and his dealer tip bet was usually at least double what I was actually betting. I mean, it was
$100.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a fascinating ride. So we did that for a while. And then what did I do? So hooked up with Pactor. Michael Pactor, of course, was our guest.
Still rolling heavy.
Earlier in the week.
You know, I want to say something while we're talking about Pactor.
Yeah.
We were both, you and I, Norm wasn't here, but I think you and I were both worried that podcast was a little bit all over the place.
I found out it was much better than we thought.
I went back and listened to some of it last night as I was editing and getting it posted.
Yeah.
And it was... Mark Rain is a very big personality.
Yes, he is.
I've known him for a long time. I mean, you've known him longer than I have. He is bombastic. He is a Gary Bombastic squared, I think.
Oh, much more so. He makes me look like a timid wallflower.
Yeah. So
rightly so, in his position.
He's the CEO of Epic Games. The guy has whatever bombastic guy has, he's earned the right to it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they power a substantial
Unreal
fraction
Engine is one of the most of significant things in gaming.
Yeah. So when we invited Mark onto the show, we knew that we were getting. We didn't think we were getting Tim and Wildfire Mark Rain. We knew we were getting Mark Rain. And it worked out really well, I thought. So I think there's.
It was a bit chaotic, but in the end of the day, Mark had a lot of really supremely knowledgeable about the gaming industry.
Everybody in the panel, and unfortunately, the only thing I regret is I wish we had done two parts and done Pactor and Mark and us, and then grabbed the other guys off and done a second segment.
Because
unfortunately, with big personality here, big personality there.
Yeah. We're used to being the big personalities. Yeah. We're not used to being the beta personalities.
I was just like, damn, this is interesting. I'm gonna get comfortable and just kind of check it out.
Sometimes you just have to just wind up the clockwork toy and just let it go.
Yeah, I mean, it was an entertaining conversation.
But you're right. In reading some of the comments on the internet in the last day of the people who are now seeing it, the online version, a lot of people really enjoying it, got a lot out of it. So that was good.
So I've only posted the video of that. If people want the audio, we can post it. I don't think it's necessary. I think the video holds pretty well.
You need to have the video, I think, for the full picture.
Yeah, it's hard to follow without the video, I think.
So Pactor this morning texted me and said, do you want to meet Ryan Seacrest?
Seacrest Inn.
Wow.
And so
he's still in town because he hosted the Microsoft keynote.
Yes, but he was actually here for another reason.
Okay.
He said, do you want to meet Ryan Seacrest? I said, sure. So we went over to the Mandarin Oriental.
Pactor know everyone?
Well, you got to remember, because Pactor is one of these guys that if I say to you on the Tested podcast, I don't think Netflix is going to have a very good year, nothing happens.
Right.
If Pactor says that, Netflix stock goes in the toilet.
Yeah.
So he is someone that people have to keep sweet. What?
We should get Pactor to listen to the podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just tweet more. He follows Gear on Twitter.
Anyway, so we went over to the Mandarin, and I'm dressed a little bit down today, and so when I went over to the Mandarin, within 2 seconds, I was identified as like someone that shouldn't really be there.
Oh no!
And some very smartly dressed person comes over and says, "We're closed for a private party," and I said, "I am invited to it." And Pactor was like, "Oh yeah, he's with me," and just suddenly the waves part.
Wow.
The Pactor party of the waves.
Well, you know.
And so we got to hang out there, and it was a private party for, and this is the Seacrest connection, the guy that owns the company that owns American Idol, who is not Simon Cowell, he's one of these behind-the-scenes guys, but like the guy that's actually bigger than Cowell. And all the
guy
that owns
the production company.
Yeah.
The production company.
Yes. It's called CKX or something like that. This guy, he's like the mega billionaire.
He's a roller.
Evil genius behind it all. Yeah. And he has a new, so he's now funding this new iOS app. Which I don't know what it's Android as well. I can't remember what it's called. I just got a very brief demo of it while we were there, but it's right. Apple apparently approved it today. It's going to be in the App Store very, very soon. It's called Wizzle or Ziggle or, they come up with these stupid
names.
Is it a
game?
No, it's like a loyalty scheme. You earn affinity points for consuming media. So it's kind of cool. So for example,
it's like Get Glue and
it's like,
but it's better, it's more interesting than that because what you do is, I only got a very short demo, but what you do is, let's say I'm watching American Idol.
Yeah.
And it's got a Shazam type engine built into it. So yes. I press the button, and it's listening. It knows what TV show I'm listening to or watching based on the sample of the media, and it gives me 150 points for watching American Idol.
And what are the points good for?
Everything from like Exxon gas cards to Sephora gift certificates to you can redeem them in like a million different places.
So it's kind of like
They're kind of like clout perks,
right?
Okay.
But so it's consuming content.
But it's kind of like Get Glue meets. Yeah. You know, it's loyalty. It's social media. You can chat about the show as you're watching. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it's interesting.
Is this why you guys are wearing wristbands? Or
no, this is something else. So we went over there and like, well, there's no Seacrest. And we're like, well, fuck this. Seacrest is out.
Yeah.
And right as we were leaving, Seacrest was coming in.
Okay.
And just very quickly, Pax went over and said, I'm Michael Patra, as if like, you know, you should be honored to meet me.
Okay.
And Ryan's like, hello, Ryan Seacrest. And it was very, very quickly we met him, and then we were out. Oh. And we went over to the Future Party, my alma mater, kind of.
Yours as well, of course. Thank you.
And so I went over there and got to meet some of my old friends from Future back in the day.
Yeah.
It's a very nice party. And I got to enjoy it for about 20 minutes until Norm showed up looking like an angry mother going like, give me the stinker. Like, why are you here? Why aren't you getting ready to podcast?
And just as I arrived,
why was he there?
I was there to say hi to podcast.
No, he didn't.
I didn't even know you were there. I was there to say hi to some friends.
Okay.
And then
Norm, because he heard girls were there.
And then friends said, oh, Gary's here. I'm like, yes. Gary who? Said, oh, Gary Whitta. Like, oh, he's supposed to be recording a podcast.
Oh, my God.
I stormed over there.
And I just got to rewind just real quickly to continue the foodie. As much as I enjoy gambling, Vegas has really become like the food capital.
Dude,
fucking believable.
We should make a trip just to come eat.
I barely ate today. All I had this morning was like an energy bar and like a bag of nuts. And so when we went over to the Mandarin, they had like, you know, the cocktail people coming around.
Orange chicken.
Oh my God. No, it was like these little kind of foie gras, mushroom, truffle, canapé type things.
Good.
Oh my God. So this is the coolest. You would love this actually. I should have brought one with me because it was almost good for tested.
Okay.
It was like a grilled Cajun shrimp. Ooh. But instead the skewer that stuck into it was a syringe. And it had a little bulb at the end of like this flavor infused stuff. So as you ate the shrimp, you squeezed it and you got a flavor injection.
Wow, science food.
In your face.
What restaurant was this? This is the Mandarin?
No, it was at the Mandarin Oriental, which is this mad place.
Okay.
And it's very elegant, and these people were coming around. So that was crazy. It was all kinds of like, you know, like you would love it, like mad scientist.
Yeah, I love
food.
Mad scientist.
And they were coming around skewer. I should have brought one of the skewers back.
I didn't
back. So we did that. So the food was great. Like these hors d'oeuvres were ridiculous.
In retrospect, it's good that you didn't, because if you'd been walking out of the door with a shrimp skewer when you met Seacrest,
that
could have been awkward.
That could have been
bad. Excuse me, I was taking this home.
I just wanted to share this with my friend. I'm cabbing some food over to the PH Towers.
And very good food also at the we're like, you know, like Wedding Crashers, where like Vince Vaughn is like constantly like, oh, you gotta get the crab cakes. We were like that.
So this is what it's like going to parties with my wife.
Yeah.
Because her job, you know,
she's like the hospitality.
She's the boss of the boss of the boss who's doing the buying of the buffet banquets and stuff like that. So whenever we go someplace, she's always like, oh, what did they have in the buffet? And I say, oh, they had this and this and this. And she's like, oh, that's shit. You should never put chicken on the buffet because it always dries out and gets all this amazing stuff. And she's like, the place that has the best catering is the Wynn. We ate the Wynn last night. I didn't think it was that good.
Well, the Mandarin is the new watermark for me. These mad scientist shrimp syringe cum shot things were amazing. And
always classy.
That's kind of what it was like.
Always classy. But you put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did I just say?
Memed.
Yeah. That was quick. And these mushroom truffle actually said at one point, it's like, this. If this is what I'm thinking about becoming a Republican, because if this is, I get it now. I understand why they
the
protect
1%. Them. Yeah, exactly.
This is actually pretty fucking
You're only
right.
a liberal until you get enough money to live like this, is what you're saying. That's the way it goes, right?
Yeah. So that food was bacon-wrapped, amazing bacon-wrapped scallops. And,
amazing man, Gary.
And just crazy stuff. And then we went up to the Future Party, and they had more good stuff over there. And then we came up here, and that's it.
That was your day.
So that was my day.
We're done with you.
So you don't have a whole lot of time left, I know.
But I want to hear about what you're seeing. Just real quick.
So you got like 10 minutes. Give me
the top three things that you saw.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, you're playing Donald Trump. Give me the short story.
In order? Or do you want to build?
Whatever. I mean, you editorialize it for me.
Yeah.
Okay. What we took?
Yeah. 16 1080p TVs.
So this is even.
You know
more
I found out today.
This is.
I'm a call out.
This is even more crazy than what you saw yesterday.
No.
Okay. We saw an AKTV at Sharp's booth.
What did you see on it?
This is the best part, actually. This was better than the TV. The TV's amazing. Like, they had these pictures. Basically, you know how you look at a 16 megapixel, a huge, massive picture, 8 megapixel picture, and you're like, you can keep zooming in, keep zooming in, keep zooming in,
yeah.
and you read the digital watch? This was like that, but video.
Yeah. Oh,
so shit. It was video shot natively in 8K,
right.
recorded with basically the only 8K video camera in the world.
And what did it look like?
It looked like a moving DSLR picture.
Yeah, talk about you.
Fuck, I'm kind of jealous. I actually would love to have seen that.
It's. I mean, it is. I had.
It was a little different because not a projector, obviously. It was on 85 inches, so you know, a little smaller than the 182 we saw.
Still pretty big.
It doesn't fucking matter. It's 85 inches of. And it was. It was.
And they
wonderful.
Let people get as close
and how big is the unit? It's got to be huge, right?
But it was. It was embedded in a wall, yeah.
So you don't know how far back it goes.
Yeah, it was probably 30 feet back.
Right. So they let you get up real close to it too, so you really like scrutinize the details.
Right.
The video. They showed a bunch of videos. So yeah, the cherry blossom cityscapes.
One video
and
was
stuff
really
like
stood
that.
Out.
Like nature scenes.
Yeah,
nature scenes.
Like
typical demo reel stuff.
And like you know, Washington D.C. But again, like Will said, you know, you could freeze any of those shots and you'd be able to read the street signs.
Yeah,
and just,
like you could literally see what was on people's watches. You could read license plates three blocks deep in the picture.
Yeah,
it was unfucking
believable. Did it kind of seem like reality? Like it was a window into another reality?
Here's the thing. The colors are a little washed out.
Just a bit muted. Okay. I don't say washed out is too strong.
Muted.
Just a tiny bit muted.
They weren't very saturated.
No, remember I said to you yesterday, Wiz 4K, the leap up from HD. When we all say HD, we went, wow. This is the next leap
this
up?
This is the big leap up.
The 4K is a huge leep up too, because we saw some 4K TVs that were pretty good.
So how's this going to roll out to consumers though? Is this 4K and the next generation? Okay, so this is the next generation beyond 4K.
It's unclear. The thing is, there's no standard. Everybody's 4K is a different thing. We saw three different resolutions of 4K today, so who the fuck knows what's happening there?
Right. 4K is
this 8K thing is pie in the sky so far as consumers.
There's one camera and one TV in the world.
Right.
Space shuttle launch in 8K was
pretty
amazing.
Last one, I think, it seemed like.
Yeah. Wow, I want to see this shit.
And then the one video that was amazing, that made the video that much better, was a Japanese video. So it was some sport where
Japan's weird.
Well, yes, it is. And I think it's a company, this Sharp Japanese company.
So Sharp Minds come Sharp.
Imagine 500, 1,000 people on a hill watching like a dozen dudes ride a massive tree log down a hill.
So they had these huge hemp ropes tied to a hole through a tree that was probably 6-7 feet diameter, not around, diameter, huge tree.
Uh-huh.
Guys were straddling it with their legs out like they were riding a hippopotamus, right?
And the log was rolling down the hill.
No, it's sliding. It's
sliding.
Rolling.
While thousands of people around them were cheering them on.
And pushing.
And why were they doing this?
Who the fuck knows?
I don't know.
But this is what they chose to. This is part of the footage that they were showing.
They showed this because there were thousands of people in the crowd.
Oh, so there's tons of details. You can see all the details.
You can see all the colors of the clothes. Each individual person.
But is there any way? Now, did you shoot any video of this?
We did.
Is there any way? Obviously, you're looking.
It doesn't capture.
You can't get any sense of the effect.
I did some photos, and I did like the wide photo and the zoom in photo, so you get a sense of, you know, if the photo is this small on a normal 1080p 720 picture, you wouldn't be able to see the details.
They wouldn't even talk
zoomed in, you can see.
And who makes this?
Sharp.
Okay, Sharp. All right.
It's not a real product. It's not something that's ever going to ship. It's essentially infinitely expensive.
But are we going to be watching? Are we going to have 8K TVs in our house in 10 years or whatever?
I hope so.
Okay.
I really hope so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. What else?
Second thing, I'm going to call a laptop. The best laptop I think I've seen.
Oh, the Lenovo.
Yes.
A+. Amazing laptop.
Remember yesterday we saw HP had their Envy, right? 14-inch laptop. Mm-hmm. Samsung Series 9.
Glass lid.
These are laptops getting a lot of press at CES.
Right.
They're kind of like Ultrabooks. Ultrabooks with no compromises because they can charge $1,400 for them. Lenovo is actually, they showed us an Ultrabook, real Ultrabook, running Windows 8.
It's a next-gen Ultrabook. They didn't say Ivy Bridge, but they said next-gen Core
It's running next-gen Intel
processor. Which is Ivy Bridge.
Now, our MacBook Airs run Sandy Bridge. This will run Ivy Bridge, which we hadn't seen before. Also, it's a Windows 8 machine, so it's not going to come out until probably the fall when Windows 8 comes out.
So what about it makes it the best thing that you've seen?
It is 3.5 pounds, incredibly thin,
right?
17 millimeters thin. So
thick.
So thick.
Thick.
The screen folds all the way back.
Huh.
So it turns into a tablet, and it's a 10-point touchscreen on a 1600 by 900 resolution screen, and it's $1,200.
3.5 pounds sounds a bit on the heavy side.
It's a little bit heavy.
Well, for a 13.3-inch laptop.
Yeah.
excuse me.
Bless
me.
A touch interface, too. So the Windows 8 stuff.
Do you have some geek lust on this? Because you were handling
it's pretty good.
I think if this shows the promise of Windows 8, like tablet
and it's
laptops,
how much? 1200?
1200.
That's pretty good. $1,200 is where it starts.
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking about existing laptops that, like, HP announced the NV14 has like the cool Gorilla Glass stuff. Yep. It's £4. It's same kind of screen, 16:9, 1600x900, $1,400, and it runs and no touchscreen at all.
Yeah, and no foldback.
And no crazy.
And also, Lenovo makes very good laptops. Yeah. I mean, the Lenovo is, I think, probably my one of my all-time.
And is this considered an Ultrabook?
And it follows Intel's Ultrabook spec, so it's for Windows 8 touchscreen Ultrabooks. They need to be thinner than 2 centimeters, 20 millimeters. Right.
They get a little thicker for.
Did they say when this was coming out?
Whenever Windows 8 comes out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So September, October, if the timelines are correct. I think the third most exciting thing today I saw was when Norm took a phone from a PR person and worked on it with a ball peen hammer.
Oh, yeah. So you finally brought the hammer.
He brought the hammer.
The reminder was useful.
Norm asked a lot of people.
Did you ask permission?
Well, okay, so
you said before, and always ask forgiveness, never ask permission.
Oh, yeah, that's the rule of life. We went into North Hall, which is like the crappy car hall, and half its cars.
Car audio.
And half of its eye shit, right? Eye stuff, you know, like eye.
Just like cases and shit? Like
weird beanbag cases for your iPad. That,
right. But a bit Kentian.
Exactly. Right. And we were looking for case manufacturers, iPhone case manufacturers, that would claim that their cases could protect against all types of damage.
Right,
rugged
right, right.
cases.
Like that one that Patrick Norton had that was
exactly.
fucking crazy.
We were actually looking for that one.
We can remember what that was called.
Yeah, but then we're also looking for.
Hold on,
brother, you can't chuckle over there.
What is that? You can't share it with the whole class.
You'll see.
I don't get one. What am I looking at?
Oh my goodness!
The text phrase that sits below the nav bar says Tesla.com
brought the hammer to CES. Oh, very good.
That's very timely. All right, quite a top man.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
So. We found.
I didn't do that.
We're looking.
Did you do that, Chan?
I didn't do that. No.
Okay. Somebody must have done it.
It's
on the magic.
It's good.
I didn't know we could do that. I thought it was hard coded.
Walking around, and the cases all look like crap. Yeah. And Otterbox, we stopped at.
They make rugged cases.
Norm would go up to case manufacturers and say, "Do you really stand behind your product?" And he said, "Well, can I drop your phone?" Blah blah blah. And then he pulled out the ball peen hammer, and they all blanched.
Yes. Otterbox.
But I mean, it's very cute. But like, should any case really have to protect against that? Like someone going mad, going wailing
well,
on it with
well, okay.
a hammer?
So you talk to the PR person, right? Again, we didn't go to the cases where they were just like fashion cases.
Right.
Obviously
right.
not.
If, right.
No, it had to be a case that
like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Cases.
Yeah. So we went to the PR lady and she said, "Oh, what is your toughest, most strongest case?" So, "Oh, come over here. It's called the Defender."
All right.
And so we went over there to the kiosk, and of course they have the fake iPhone in the case.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
it kind of looked really cheap, like plastic. You know, it's rubberized on the outside. But it's like has a plastic like hard shell on the inside
and more
double layer, right?
Yeah,
so I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, what can you do to this? Can you drop it or something? You know, I drop mine all the time, and she gave me this whole spiel.
I give it to my kid. He throws it around the house.
Yeah, like,
whatever.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Oh, I drive my car over it." I'm like, "Oh, okay, now in my head." Okay,
now
she claims that she can drive her car over it.
Right.
So hold on. You can drive your car over it? And she's like, "Yeah, no problem." So,
I've done it all the time.
Yeah, all the time.
She
like,
says,
I go, "Okay, could you put a hammer to it?" And then she says, I suppose. And then comes unzipping the bag and breaking out the hammer.
At this point, we weren't running the camera, unfortunately, which was a mistake. But the look on her face was when he pulled
the
hammer.
Her face,
I want to see this lady's face when the hammer comes out.
She, you can see exactly what's going through her mind. Like, these people have press badges.
Yeah.
If I say no, then they're going to call me out. And I'm going to get shit in my box.
She's going to play along. She put her in a bit of a sticky wicket.
So she then she goes, "I get to ask my boss." So she went back. And then came back a little while later and said, "Okay, yes, you can put a hammer to it. You know what? You can use my phone."
Right.
Holy shit. And so, now that is standing
at this point, the look at the triple return.
Joy.
Because Norm, Norm is And as she says this, she says, "But I'm going to be on the road for the next 2 weeks, so if you smash my phone, I won't be able to talk to my children."
Right.
So that's her way of saying, like, don't really,
don't
like, pull your punches a little bit? Okay.
And then so, like, there was a compromise
kind
of made where she said, "Okay, you know what? Can you use the hammer on the one on the table?" I kind of reassured her, "I'll use the hammer on the one that's in the display model where there's no real iPhone."
Right,
so throw yours around because you claim you throw yours around.
Oh my God.
I take her phone and I throw it on the carpet. Ah, it's just carpet. And I throw it against the kiosk, the plastic kiosk.
It bounces under the booth.
It bounces around. Like, oh, shit. And I'm willing to go around and get the phone back. And at that point, I'm having fun with it. I'm kind of hitting against. And then I put it down and take out the hammer.
Did you really go at it?
Oh, yes.
Were you hitting it with the hammer as hard as you could?
No.
I would say not as hard as I could. That would have probably broken the kiosk.
Right.
The stand was on.
Okay.
It's not a huge hammer.
And what I did, I was kind of smart about it. I put the phone face down. So obviously I'm not going to hit the screen, the front of the phone.
Right.
Face down, hit the back of it.
Yeah.
Right? Just on the back.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what to expect, right? First contact, if I heard glass shattering, that would be really bad.
Yeah.
After three hits, like everyone, I don't think Will was prepared.
Hold on. By the first hit, I don't think she thought you were going to do it.
No,
she was watching her. And then I was watching the phone, and then I was watching her. And the look on everyone's face.
Do you have this on video?
No, we only had one camera. So it's all the storm smashing the camera.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have him.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm literally sitting there, I'm like, the first one, I was like, okay, this, we're good. And then he keeps going. And I was like, and it keeps getting harder and harder.
I mean,
come
on. Will is a guy who cut Fruit Ninja down after 10 seconds.
How many times did you hit it?
I hit it
five times.
Five times, okay.
Boom, one final hit. Right.
And it worked. I mean, the phone was fine.
The phone was undamaged.
Well, we didn't look at the back, in fairness.
In fairness, it was still pressed the home button.
Did you take the phone out and examine the phone outside of the case?
No, we didn't want to be there if that didn't
work. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
But it still worked.
It worked.
Yeah.
And there was no visible damage.
No visible damage.
Okay.
Literally.
How badly did the case look damaged?
It was rubber on the
Oh, it was rubber.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, no scratches.
All right, it sounds like it passed the test.
Pretty impressive. They were the only ones who'd do it.
Yeah.
So that we found. We didn't find those guys that Patrick Norman
So that's the only time you got to bring the hammer.
I'll bring it back tomorrow.
We'll keep bringing. Norm's going to bring the hammer indefinitely.
Well, I'm also going to try Gorilla Glass tomorrow.
Ah, okay.
My nemesis. So,
all right.
The threat of the hammer, at least, will give me confidence.
So let's see.
Well, great. And then that's all three things, right?
Those are the three high points.
Let me see. I am... look, I've got 4 minutes. Oh, so
4 minutes.
What do you want to talk about for 4 minutes?
let's...
What's one other thing that you saw that you liked?
You got 4 minutes.
Another highlight.
That's pretty much it.
What did you eat today? You got any hot dog nugget stories?
I had the French toast.
Oh, how was it?
It was... Wes got it. I did split. So I ordered...
Good.
Egg, word picture.
So like a baguette, like a split baguette style, right?
I told you it was fucking good.
Yeah. You get 3 pieces.
Yeah.
And I ordered the fried chicken Benedict, and we did the smart split.
Fried chicken Benedict's good as well, right?
Yeah. It's creme brulee dip that they put it in.
In what? The French toast?
The French toast.
Fuck me, I'm having that tomorrow.
And it's like...
I'm having a carb holiday tomorrow and going to town on that shit.
It's gonna be,
it was wonderful.
I'm bringing the hammer on that French toast.
Sugared up Gary.
Yeah. They give you a lot.
I saw it. It looks like a whole baguette.
No, you get three of those baguettes.
Three of them?
Three slices.
Let's do this. Let's have breakfast tomorrow. And like, I can't eat a whole one, but like, I'll eat like a half a piece.
Well, we'll just go with those on the table. Everybody gets a bite and you have some eggs or something.
Did you say it was the best French toast you've ever had?
Holy shit.
Oh, we got to talk about the Samsung transparent window.
Okay, yeah. One last thing. One more thing. One more thing.
Yeah.
We saw it today. We shot a video.
One more thing. I love it that we've got one more thing.
One more thing, Gary.
Of course. He has a go.
Okay.
It is Iron Man.
Imagine a world.
Oh, so it is on.
It is Iron
Jarvis.
Man. It is.
Well,
no, there's no AI behind it. It's just
no, but it
glass.
Looks like that.
But hold on, Jarvis. When Jarvis Leslie is Bibb, illuminated.
When Leslie Bibb wakes up in Tony Stark's bed and presses the button.
Yeah, I remember.
And then the shades are digital, and it has like the pop up stuff.
Yes,
it is that.
Except for it's not glowing when it's on.
It doesn't glow. The light comes naturally from the outside,
right?
And illuminates through transparent LCD glass.
Yeah.
And you can have, it's a real
time. I'd like to see that as well. Do you have video of that?
We have video of that.
Okay, I would definitely want to see that. It's going to be some good videos.
We did, it was a good day.
So it seemed like CES is kind of warming up a little bit. Like, press conference day was lame. Yesterday was okay. Like, today sounds like the first day.
Hunt for the
you guys
stuff.
Were really excited.
I think
about
we found, I'm not feeling real hot about tomorrow, but we're going to go hunting again.
Why not? Do you feel like you've seen it all now?
I feel like, we haven't been to South Hall at all, but
we've seen half of it.
The ratio on South Hall of awesome to merely adequate to shit is real bad. So it's just wading through more and more. Now, the good thing is Wes and Matt, they have braved the wilds of South Hall and hopefully have found us some kind of interesting stuff to go shoot tomorrow. We'll see.
Oh, these guys are like the advanced team that go figure out
they're
what they should
scouts,
go look at?
Yeah,
right, I see. They're the
Rangers. Rangers
going
first.
That's very smart. You guys have got like a whole battle plan.
I mean, one of the things that we've found, we learned a lot last year. We've been to CS a bunch before, but it's different with video.
Right.
And we had a real strong strategy coming into this. to get the most that we can out with essentially four people and three producers.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing pretty well so far.
It sounds like you got some the videos today sound like they'll be really really fun to watch. Hitting shit with a hammer and stuff.
Before Gary has to go, let's take a couple questions and we'll take a quick break. Get Gary off set, maybe bring Matt or Wes in. I don't know who's got some time. You're both writing over there, I know. Matt, any questions from the chat?
There was one earlier asking whether you guys saw anything, any sort of like good drawing tablets or like digitizers and things like that. I know it sounds very niche. I didn't see.
So if we say drawing tablets,
like Wacom's like, and screens that you
we didn't see
on.
Wacom there. I mean, Wacom usually, I don't know if they have a booth here.
They usually have suites. They usually have suites. Okay.
So we haven't seen them yet.
It's probably, I mean, that's something a little niche. I did put on a pair of $1,500 headphones today.
Ooh, what were they like?
It was like somebody was fellating my ears.
Were they studio headphones? Like you?
No, they were audiophile listening headphones.
It's for home listening, not
they
for...
They were for people who really like music a lot. And
see,
not
that,
only
I don't,
buy,
I don't, if I was going to buy really expensive pair of headphones, yeah. I want the ones they give to the audio professionals who mix the music.
No, because those are flat. You may not want that because they're not going to sound... These were real nice and warm. Mm. These were hooked up to probably another $5,000 or $6,000 worth of audio gear and amplifiers and stuff. It was really, really lovely.
Cool. All right, one more question and I got to go.
Sure. Let's see here. Can we put this Valve thing to rest? Valve, do they have a booth?
What's we don't know.
We haven't had a chance to talk to them yet.
Okay.
Word is there at the Venetian. And that'll do it. Stay tuned. We'll be real quick break. Gary, thanks for coming by.
Happy to do it. Yeah, sorry I can't do the whole show. I'll be back tomorrow night for the big wrap.
Are you riding back with us, or are you going to bail and take a plane?
No, I'm not. I'm good. We'll see what tomorrow holds. But so far, the ship is holding together.
Norm, you think? What do you think? Over under?
I think Gary's going to ride back.
You think Gary's going
to ride back? I've got too much shit to. I brought too much stuff with me to fly back.
Okay. Yeah.
It'll be good.
Okay.
What time are you thinking about? What time are you going to
get like 5 o'clock in the morning. I want to fucking
are
get.
Are you serious?
I want to be out of.
Remember, if you try. If you say.
No, he can't push through.
I can slap you. If you say
you
that.
Say, oh, that's right. This is a slap.
On Thursday night.
Yeah, I slap that commissioner.
But hear me out. It's not as bad as flying back because, you know, you can at least sleep in the car and it's like an easier environment.
No, because remember there's another thing you said that was dumb on the drive out that we're going to hold you to because you said you could listen to Power the entire ride on repeat.
I stand by it. Here's the thing. If you want to get on the road at 5,
yes.
To pack up all this shit and everything and get out of here, like how early are you going to start that?
We're going to pack up the night before we go to bed.
Right, yeah.
And then just get the bellhops and roll.
What I'm saying is, but you usually aren't done with the show until like midnight. By the time you get everything packed and everything else.
Tomorrow's
like,
early day. We'll be done early. We're going to start the show at 6 tomorrow.
If you say
you're looking for any excuse to push through.
We'll see what the future holds. I'm not ruling anything out at this stage.
Oh my God.
You knew this was going
to
happen.
And it wasn't going to hold me to slapping you.
I got
to
make my money.
I'm a slapback commissioner. It's a sacred task.
I'm a little bit down.
Oh, you know,
I can't leave until I made my nut.
Well, then you just put it all in black.
I
thought about dropping $100 on black as we were running through Planet Hollywood.
I played a couple of $100 hands today, and it was a mixed bag. I won a couple, of lost a couple. I can't take the
swings.
I got enough gray hair as it is.
Yeah, you don't need any more.
I don't need that.
Kids on the way.
I don't love that.
You want them to remember you young.
Oh my God, we got this. You know, don't you hate those dealers that do that bullshit dramatic thing when they get an ace and ask you for insurance?
Oh, and then they stop
and they do the thing. They do the fake out where she looks at the car and she goes. Oh, but then it's not. Yeah. You know, oh, don't.
Or even when it's a king and it could be ace down, and they put it down, and then they stop.
Yes,
and it's as if they're going to flip
it
over.
So they only check the mirror when it's a face card.
Anytime I had a lot of money in, and I was, and she would give me that. She would give me the hit card down.
Yeah.
And she would turn it over, and she would do it in this kind of. Oh, I'm just turning it over.
If I double down, it's a high bet. I actually like it face down. The extra card it gives it a little more suspense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, it's been an interesting, it sounds like we both had very interesting days in for very different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, serious business on one side, and then Norm and I went to CES, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Any hints as to what's going on tonight, or is this going to be a mystery?
So Pax is downstairs at the craps table, that's
just
what he likes to
you.
Play.
Okay.
I'm going to go down and meet him now, and we're going to go explore, maybe go to Caesars, maybe go to the Paris,
sir.
Are you going to join us later?
I'll send you a text.
You text me and you let me know what you want to do.
All right.
Okay.
All right, that's it. I'm out.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, everybody.
Let's shut down the show. Stay tuned for 5 minutes. We'll be right back. screaming, fuck yes, Joey, and a picture of Joey like this.
Would that be 3D Joey?
No, not 3D Joey.
4K Joey.
So we're back recording on the podcast.
8K Joey. Thank you, Thomas.
Okay, we can just roll back in.
Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
I'll kill you, bitches. In 3, 2, 3.
And we're back!
Oh.
We're chatting it up!
Hi.
No, don't do that. Oh.
Wow. This podcast got really bad.
Canadian humor doesn't fly here.
Joining us on the couch is Matt Vlogger. Yeah, still managing the chat, though, so you can still send your comments at him. So now that Gary's gone, let's talk
about the news. Yeah. I'm opening my list. I literally have a list of notes because we saw so much stuff today, couldn't keep up with it all. Yeah. We talked about Toshiba a little bit.
Yeah. Not actually their TVs, though. We saw two things at Toshiba today. I'll start. The first thing we saw was actually tablets. Android tablets. Exciting, exciting Android tablets.
Are you being facetious?
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't know why. I think we said this yesterday. Companies are announcing Android tablets at CES with no ice cream sandwich.
Right. This is a massive, massive problem.
Even the ones that have
everything we saw. We saw one thing today that had ice cream sandwich on it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Well, we walked by the Galaxy Nexus at Samsung.
Sure.
It was pretty grim. Matt Braga, you're sitting on the couch.
Yes, I am.
Put your laptop away.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted me to man chat.
Wes Fenland has a microphone on.
I'm on the chat, Matt.
You're sending me mixed messages.
We had an entire conversation about this during the break.
Put it away.
Full attention. Don't set the mic down because it makes noise for people at home.
Also,
getting casual.
Somehow we ended up calling Wes and Matt the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What are the kids doing?
Yeah, what are the kids doing now?
When was this, when you guys were just walking
around? Well, it was when you guys were texting, like, 14-year-old girls.
When Wes and
Matt
were texting each other.
Hey, I was not romancing him. We were trying to get important business done.
It was not wooing,
okay,
right?
Let's...
It's like, oh, where are the kids?
This is another opportunity for technology etiquette. I like having these conversations because somebody has to decide this shit. When you are using a service like GroupMe, which is a GroupMe, just in case we haven't talked about it yet, it's text party line. So you have one phone number. You sign up for GroupMe. You say, okay, I want a GroupMe with Wes and Matt and Norm and Will and Drew and Thomas and Joey. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you send a text to one phone number. Ours is an 865 number because I thought a Knoxville number would be kind of cool.
Really?
Well, it was what was available. I was trying to spell something, but I couldn't come up with anything good. And then I reached a point that I just didn't give a fuck anymore. And then, so you send a text to that message, that place. And then it repeats that message with the person's name that sent it. So, for example, when I send a text out, it says Will, colon, and then my message.
Yes.
And it goes out to everyone via text, which is great because at a trade show like CES where there's 50 million nerds and everybody has 4 smartphones and 2/3 of them are on AT&T, nothing works except for text. It's essentially the same as a war zone or like when Hurricane Katrina hit.
Well, that's why you're paying 10 cents of text.
At New Orleans, right?
Like 20 bucks a month, unlimited.
Exactly. So... we use GroupMe for things like communicating, getting everybody in one place again at the end of the day.
There's an app associated, but we don't use that.
We don't use that because it uses data.
Right.
So there's no reason to. Yeah. Gary was using it, but he just he's in the casino. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And we talked about this yesterday. The good thing is you can also mute. But you can't mute individual people.
You can't mute individual people.
You can opt out.
I did look at that today.
Of the entire group.
So
what is this etiquette?
So I think... excuse me.
Whoa.
I'm almost done. I got one more, I think. I think that when you have a conversation between two people that doesn't involve the rest of the group, perhaps the thing to do is to just use traditional SMS.
Okay. Unless they want to passively share their conversation.
Unless it's something that may be of interest. So if it's, for example, hey, I want to get lunch. Where are you? That may be good, right? Because somebody else might want to join you for lunch. Or, I saw this amazing thing in South Hall. You should go check it out. Perfectly reasonable to share to the group. I'm at the bottom of the stairs. Where are you? Oh, I'm coming up the escalator. Oh, okay. I was just walking by the Ben & Jerry's stand. Oh, are you by the Ben & Jerry's stand in North Hall, or are you the one in South Hall? No, I went by the men's restroom. The men's restroom in the 1475-37 hall or the 1475-38 hall?
So,
And on and on and on and on and on is a perfect example of it. I'm not saying that anybody did this. I'm not making any accusations. I'm not saying that the kids did anything wrong. I'm just saying that it is possible that that is an opportunity to transition from GroupMe and sharing with Thomas and Drew and Joey and Norm and me and Gary.
I didn't care. I was fine with it. I got this like 14 messages at once. I think Will's bothered by it. I thought it was funny that we affectionately called them the kids. And you
that
know
is
what?
Funny.
And
I'm just saying group me etiquette is a real thing. We need to yes. think about these issues and real hard.
See, Will, you have to understand that me and Wes have a very professional relationship where we text each other to figure out what's going on. Whereas you and Norm have a very, it's like a very bromoerotic relationship. You're always together.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means
either. That's a little bit offensive, actually.
I was going to say that we got to also use you, guys, the kids, as an excuse to also get out of conversations that we didn't want, which is my point.
Okay.
None of this being annoyed stuff. It was, and not planning on being a parent anytime soon. I get to see what sometimes parents use their kids as excuses. Oh, I can't make this. I have to go do my kids thing. I got to say, the kids are waiting for us at the press room. We got to go meet them and to get out of conversation.
Call us the kids to PR people?
Actually, no, it was a me conversation.
No, just Will, amongst ourselves.
Sorry. Oh, hey, Will, we got to meet the kids.
Where are the kids, Norm?
Where are the kids? And then, sorry, got to take this briefing right now.
To be completely serious, the reason that we did that is because it's just, we have everyone in the group meet. We use it to communicate for everything else. It just seemed like the right thing to do.
It was the easy thing to do.
It is.
I'm not suggesting that you did this. I just know that multiple times today, I would suddenly get a minuscule second of cell service, and it would be, my phone would vibrate for 20 seconds straight as the texts flowed in.
One other point, I actually did think about this today and realized that I don't have Matt's regular number, and I assume he doesn't have mine.
I do.
We have an email thread.
So I have access to it, but I don't have it in my phone.
Oh, okay.
So group
ill prepared
was,
is, I guess that's an excuse.
Kind of thing. Plus, you guys did the same thing at the Samsung booth yesterday.
Yes.
Oh, I'm in the RCA.
Granted, it did not go on as long.
It was one message,
I think it was,
and then a response.
No.
Anyway, so I have my list of topics. Toshiba 4K TV.
No, tablets first.
Oh, tablets first?
Still talking about tablets.
So Android tablets, kind of boring, a little bit dumb. This is one of the reasons that CS in January is dopey. It's because it's off-product cycle.
I said this to what the Android tablet hardware we saw today and over CS made me realize is how bad it's Google's fault.
Google's fucked up very badly. You looked over at me two times today and said, Google has fucked this up really bad.
Google and then spent you said again, more money and making Android a better tablet OS,
yes.
The hardware is there. Hardware is awesome.
Yeah, the hardware is really good. The competition between hardware vendors has resulted in them all really bringing
it. It's like the hardware manufacturers are trying to overcompensate for what they know like people aren't necessarily liking Android as much.
So this, like last year, Toshiba brought a fairly, what I thought was a fairly generic iPad 2 knockoff. Right.
Not very great.
With a kind of bad, it wasn't great, it wasn't exciting design. The tablet we saw today, their new 10-inch, I think it's 10.1-inch tablet, it's 16x9, I never can remember the name. Is it the Excite?
It is the Excite with the X.
X10.
Yep, very good.
It's a dopey name. The tablet is super, super attractive.
Yeah.
It's a square bezel, about that thick, 5 millimeters, 7 millimeters? I don't know. It was very thin.
Just over a pound. Had all the right ports you want. Micro USB, micro HDMI, micro SD card slot.
Micro USB host.
Yep.
A beautiful IPS display with great viewing angle. So, you know, some of the early Android tablets, the Zoom notably, had really bad viewing when you had it in portrait mode. So it was almost unusable in portrait mode. Mm-hmm. None of that here. I mean, this is something I could actually see myself using.
Yep.
And then I turned it on.
Well, and then you saw Honeycomb.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you're like,
So we've had a lot of conversations as well at CS. It's not just Toshiba. Pretty much everybody is making Android devices that are coming out after March, late Q1 and on, are when you say, okay, what is this going to ship with? They say, well, this one has Honeycomb on it, but we're either going to ship Ice Cream Sandwich immediately following release very quickly, or we're just going to wait to release it until we get Ice Cream Sandwich on it. Now, Toshiba has done the right thing. Their tablets are, for the most part, stock. I think everything we saw was stock. I'm not 100%. We didn't look at everything they had, but I think everything that we saw was stock Honeycomb, which is
with
good.
A few like apps they throw in, like file browser and stuff like that.
Exactly, exactly. Very, very good. Very promising hardware.
Yeah, it just shows that the hardware is ready for the software to get better.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still kind of optimistic about Ice Cream Sandwich, but we'll see how that actually goes.
But, like, there were also many different form factors as well. I mean, we did see a 10.1-inch one. There was a 7.7, yes. And then they had this weird one, which is a 5.5.
Let's talk about the 7.7 first, because I got hands-on with that. You weren't there yet, I think, when I was looking at that. But it's one of the things they did with that is it's not all brushed metal, and I think they used magnesium alloy on the 10.1. No, the 7.7 is actually a rubberized back. It feels it almost feels like an OtterBox or kind of one of the rubbery cases.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, it's not that bad because it doesn't have that much bulk because that's just the back. You know, it's not like you're adding something on top of the device. It's just a sturdier tablet, which I think is okay.
Well, for the way some people hold their tablets, sure.
And for 7.7, you're going to hold it one-handed a lot of the time. You don't want something that slips.
Is it like the grippy rubber that a lot of the Blackberries have in the back of them?
What's a Blackberry?
The Canadian thing.
Oh. It is. No, it's not like the smooth, like antibacterial plasticky surface that I associate with... I guess Blackberry Bolds do that. Some of them had leather on the back.
The Zoom had a kind of matte rubbery surface.
This is more thick rubber. More knobbly. Was it
real rubber or was it just like rubberized plastic?
It was squinchy.
Oh, okay. So
I mean, it may not have been rubber from a tree, but it was like a rubber analog. Mm. It was grooved. Well, actually, it wasn't grooved. They were raised surfaces that were flat and about. Oh, I don't know, probably an eighth of an inch wide in a pattern that made it easy to hold on to, which I thought was really nice. And it added a little bit of thickness that wasn't – thickness isn't always bad. Thin is not always
the best
thing.
That's the kind of type of, like, diversification in hardware that could be good. Like, some people would like that kind of surface.
Exactly.
And
well, especially if you're doing it, like, in a kind of industrial setting where you're, you know, in an airplane engine, you need the manual right there, and you want something that's a little bit sturdier. So
you know what still bugs me? The cameras that they put in it always is funny to see someone taking a picture with a tablet.
You know, yeah, I feel bad.
And
for
I've
them.
Seen many, many people here taking pictures of TVs and cell phones with an iPad 2 or an Android tablet.
I saw a guy taking a picture of the 8K Sharp TV with an iPad 2. And I was like, dude, that picture is going to look, it's going to make something that is really nice looking, look like complete shit.
Yep.
I do you know how many times I've used the rear facing camera on my iPad?
Not many.
When I was FaceTiming my parents and wanted to show them the dog, that's it. That's the only time I've used it.
Yeah. I mean, some of these tablets, though, I mean, they have like a 5-megapixel camera on the back.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary. And actually, the sensor is quite bad on those the cameras.
As far as, well, we're still talking about Ice Cream Sandwich. I mean, if we could, because you've seen a lot of tablets at this point, ballpark figure, how many Ice Cream Sandwich tablets are there at CES?
None that I've seen so far.
One. Lenovo.
No, that was not an ice cream sandwich.
The one on the table was ice cream sandwich.
Oh, the one we didn't look at. Oh,
the one I looked at.
This is a little concerning. I mean,
it's a topic of one of Ryan Whitman's story for tonight.
Yeah,
he wrote up right now.
It's a timing thing.
Yeah,
I mean, ice cream sandwich was released in early December.
Well, the Galaxy Nexus kind of pushed back a while, and we've been hearing about ice cream sandwich. I mean, it was at I/O last summer, so.
Well, but it's every 6 months, basically. Yeah. They're on a new Ubuntu-style release schedule, where they release a new OS every 6 months. And, I mean, there's no excuse for it to lag this far behind. I understand that Google keeps this stuff close to the chest. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's talk about the 5.5, because it was pretty cool looking. It was behind glass,
Didn't get a chance to touch it. I just thought it looked like a phone, but it was a...
It was the same size as the Note.
Yeah, the Note is a 5.5.
But it's wide. It's wide.
It's a CinemaScope, right? Wider aspect ratio.
Tablet. Wow. Yeah. That's why I thought it was interesting, just from how it looked. Yeah.
So one of the things, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I talked to somebody this morning. I think it was might have been one of the Nokia people. And they said that their research shows that the reason the large screens are going in the United States right now, or growing in the United States on Android, is people are using them to watch a video, especially in the United States and China, on commutes.
And all of the people that we talked to who had tablets, they all said... It also plays 1080p video.
Yeah.
Regardless of the fact that it's a 1280 by 800 screen.
Well, that's the Qualcomm, the new Qualcomm SoC with the power, with the updated Power VR graphics.
Plays 1080p video. With battery life.
And records.
Sure.
And records.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was pretty good. We also got to see Toshiba 4K TVs.
Yes.
And these are different because they're actually real products. They're selling them in Japan right now.
So remember last year, the 4K TVs we saw, glassless free 3D TVs,
yes.
Like the ones we saw at Toshiba last year.
We saw them at Toshiba. We saw them.
They
at
were very controlled environments where they were. You had to stand behind, like 5 to 7 feet behind rope, basically. Mm-hmm. The Sony one, it was behind closed doors.
Yeah. The Sony one, you didn't have to. The Toshiba one had foot placements on the ground where you should stand.
Yep.
The Sony one did not.
Right.
And these are lenticular. So, just like anything else, like the thing that they used to stick on the front of cereal boxes to make it look like it was Captain Cookie Crisp and the cop. Right. Yes. You look one way, it's Cookie Crisp. One way, it's cop. One way, it's a dinosaur. One time, it's Fred Flintstone.
Mm-hmm. A little bit interlacing.
Yeah, a tiny bit, but it's vertical usually. Mm-hmm. And what this does is gives enough of a different impression that one column can be for left eye, one column can be for right eye, basically.
So last year they were kind of prototypes. This year they're real. And not only are they real, they're actually being sold right now in Japan.
Yeah.
4K TVs, actually a late 2011 product.
Yeah.
And they're releasing now in Europe, I think around now.
This is Toshiba still.
Toshiba, and later in the year in the US. Again, probably because there's no 4K content, they don't really see a big market there.
Right. So what we, just first off, not a cheap TV.
Not a cheap TV. In Europe, they're selling them for 8,000 euros.
Yeah, $10,138 at a 1.3-to-1 conversion rate, which is what was accurate as of this morning at 9 o'clock.
On Google.com.
Yeah.
And
do not use that for commercial purposes.
That's Google
there
as well.
There has to be a disclaimer for that,
There are three demos.
Okay.
And I guess you start for the demo that everyone assumes you ask when you see a 4K TV. How much better is it than 1080p?
Yeah.
So the first demo had two of the TVs next to each other.
Yes.
And one was showing straight 1080p content.
Yes.
And next to it was that same piece of content upconverted to 4K.
And a 4K TV, just to reiterate, is essentially the resolution. It's not exactly right because 4K seems to be a kind of It's a little amorphous, right?
Depends
now.
On the aspect ratio.
Yeah, well, it depends on the manufacturer too.
Yes.
But basically, it's the same resolution as four 1080p sets in a square or rectangle.
Rectangular configuration.
Right.
Yeah.
So one was scaled up 1080p content. One was 1080p content. The 1080p set was the only thing that wasn't the same set. Everything else on this wall that we're going to talk about is the same TV.
Correct.
And the scaler on this one. Built into the TV.
So you just plug in HDMI, plug in whatever feed you want. We're talking about a 55-inch TV, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked really good.
It looked really good, especially if you're standing at the kind of distance you normally would stand to watch a 55-inch TV.
So the demos they were using obviously were optimized for the demo. They had like text that on brass instruments or something.
Yeah.
And then they kind of upconverted that so it was sharper at the edges. They had some like
there was still some text aliasing on those, especially.
I mean, but there's enough. I mean, the low detail patterns they had were still patterns so that when you use that data to extrapolate to make it high resolution, because they're patterns, they're more regular.
Basically. Yeah,
like it wasn't like a wildly different detail.
So there was this one thing that was almost like a mandala or something like that.
Yeah,
and I have to say I was a little surprised that they chose it because it did not look particularly good. There was a lot of shimmer, which is one of those things that you immediately notice when you're seeing up-resed, scaled up video images. So I almost think that they did that. I don't know why they did that. I don't know that why you would show that. It did not make it look particularly good. The it's not the kind of thing I would ever watch on the TV, though. Mm-hmm. So the more like the nature scenes and the polar bear swimming through the water and all the crap that you normally see during these demos looked surprisingly good. Not as good as the Sony 4K yesterday, the projector. But also, that's 2.5 times more expensive than this.
Yes, and we're still talking about the upconversion stuff from 1080p.
The upconversion stuff.
Yeah. So in the second demo, they were showing glassless 3D, and like Will said, it's lenticular display, 9 spots, so there are 9 people who can share and watch 3D, and there's head tracking built in the TV. So in the demo,
Head tracking only works for one person.
Yeah, correct.
So the way that works is. There's a camera at the bottom of the TV. When it sees one person watching, it tracks their eyes. And it doesn't move the lenticular screen. It actually just moves the image underneath the lenticular screen just slightly. You get an unnoticeable amount. And I got up super
close. It wasn't like, once it tracks your eyes, like in Mission Impossible 4, you can walk around and it would shift.
You mean
the
hallway is what you're talking about.
The hallway, yeah. It's more like if you're looking at it, it tracks your eyes and you tilt your head a little bit left to right, you wouldn't see the overlap. The
crosstalk. Exactly.
I thought the 3D looked okay.
Well, the 3D was subtle.
Definitely, they were not showing like Sony style jumping stuff jumping out of the screen. It was very subtle, just like animation that looked a little popped up.
It was. I wasn't offended by it. I didn't spend a whole. I spent probably 10 minutes looking at one of the demos. I think it's fine. It's nothing. It's like you said, nothing special.
I don't think glossless free 3D is ready yet.
I prefer the much more subtle effect to the leaping out at you. You know, we looked at the Sony glasses free 3D stuff a little bit yesterday as well. It seems like it's not. It's a much less pronounced effect as well, which I actually kind of welcome. I think that's okay.
On lenticular displays, can the strength of the effect be changed in the same way that you can with the stereoscopic glasses?
That's a really good question. I would assume so, but I don't know for sure.
Like, because I'm just trying to figure out how you would do that.
I don't think you can.
You know?
The depth, because then the actual...
Things further apart, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's an interesting question.
Another question is, did you guys go by the Sharp booth? I can't remember.
We talked about that.
We talked about that already.
We saw the 8K.
I was going
to
ask you to compare.
We saw the dudes riding the log.
Okay.
Well, so the Sharp wasn't showing upscaled stuff at all.
Yeah, they were.
The Washington, D.C. stuff was upscaled, right?
They were on the 4K displays.
We didn't look at the 4K displays.
We only saw the 8K one.
Oh, so yeah, when you were talking about upscaling a second ago, that was the 8K that were upscaled?
No, Toshiba. Pay attention, Burger.
No, I know, but I thought you were talking about upscaling 4K at Toshiba.
We were talking about upscaling 1080p to 4K on Toshiba.
And Sharp did the same thing. I was asking.
We didn't see that.
Oh, we didn't see that demo. And then the last thing we saw at the Toshiba booth for that TV was 4K content, real 4K content.
Yeah.
And it looked really good. Because the 4K stuff we saw at the Sony demo yesterday was on a 182-inch theater screen.
Much bigger pixels.
And this is on a 55-inch screen. Some of the nature stuff they shot just looked amazing.
I think really, it's going to really be good. Really interesting to see what sizes all the manufacturers choose for the 4K stuff. Because when I spoke with Sharp, they said they're probably not going to do anything lower than 60 for the 4Ks.
Which
is about right.
Yeah. I think 63 inches is right.
63 inches,
Interesting. Good size for TV. Why 63 inches?
That's the size TV I have.
It's a pro. Okay.
It's a good size.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. What was that?
I said okay.
Okay. The 4K stuff, it's interesting. It really is incredibly dependent on the scaler. I don't know what the situation is. I have no idea what scalers to scale from 1080p to 4K are costing at this point. Typically, scalers are such a niche product that they get crazy expensive to get good ones. If I was using that Toshiba TV, I don't think I would be able to live with the built-in scale. I think I'd have to get something better.
So you'd buy...
I probably wouldn't buy a 4K TV right now. But I think if I was...
I don't think anyone is in the market for a 4K TV right now.
Right, I guess that's fair.
Except Peter Jackson.
Yeah, and Spielberg.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So,
dude shooting with red cameras, 5K cameras, want to watch home videos, 5K home videos.
So what was the resolution? So it was 3160 by...
39 something.
No.
Are you talking about the Toshiba
one?
The Toshiba one. 39 something by 2160.
Yeah, okay. So 2160 vertical lines, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
1080 times 2 vertical. After that, what do we do?
I have a list.
What did we do?
Yeah, what did you guys do?
I went to talk to the Wireless Power Consortium today.
Oh, the QI people?
Yeah.
Key? Is it Key or Qui? How did they pronounce it?
Key. Yeah. Okay. It almost, I thought they were talking about Qi for a minute.
Okay.
I was a little confused. And I also looked at Mirasol e-reader tablet devices.
So what is the name? Okay, remember when we did the Mirasol video back at a digital experience event? There was a long
interferometric modulation.
Intro?
I think it's intro.
Interferometric modulation.
Say five times fast, Norm.
Interferometric modulation.
We're good.
They remembered you guys because of that bit.
Fuck yes.
Nice.
That's all I care about.
Never let it be said that we're not memorable. People get either really excited or a little scared when we show up at their booth.
Interferometric modulation.
Have you noticed that?
Interferometric modulation.
The excitement or scared?
Interferometric modulation.
That Otterbox woman is never going to forget you, dude.
Yeah. I would love to see their reaction next year.
I would guess that they're going to get a fair amount of mileage.
So Mirasol, is it better now?
It is better.
Could you read on it? Could you read a book on it?
Yeah,
You can read on it. It is not on a Kindle yet. Oh, so the problem with Mirasol isn't really a problem with Mirasol, it's a problem with the devices that it's on.
Yes.
That is, and these things just aren't aimed at us. They're not
human
aimed
beings.
At they're not aimed at the US market. They're aimed at
people
the Korean market and in China.
Is that because people in Korea and China will buy anything, or is that because
they don't have e-readers there really to the same extent that we have here? It's a lot more driven by like Samsung, you know, is doing tablets over there.
So why did they say why that is? Is it a character thing, or
they talked a little bit about they said Samsung put out an e-reader over there and just killed it after like a month.
Okay.
I guess people it's just because, weren't buying them.
Oh, killed it because nobody was buying, not killed it.
Right.
In that they cornered the market.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They just killed the product.
It's because who are successful in e-books now are the people selling the books.
Yeah. So the readers that they're selling over there are actually with the companies that are selling them, because obviously Qualcomm is making this technology, but it's not a Qualcomm product on the shelves.
Right.
The guys that they are partnered with are providing like book libraries and stuff like that, because Qualcomm didn't want to set up this device that would basically be a channel for pirated books.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that someone working at Amazon right now is meeting with Qualcomm on a regular basis, figure out when Mirasol technology or something like it, or competing technology, will be ready to be unveiled in some future Kindle as finally ebooks, but e-magazines.
Color ebooks.
Yeah, so I'm just finishing my article on this, and basically it's going to come down to when they finish their factory to pump out like actual
panels.
Mass production.
Yeah.
Because they only have like a small R&D factory right now that's putting these out. Next year is going to, like, Mirasol will actually have a shot.
There may be a thing.
At something in the U.S. or in a market where they can, you know, actually, they have to have enough production to make it in the U.S. or Europe or whatever. So it's either going to be Mirasol coming out in something really cool, or maybe E-Ink is going to haul ass and get their color E-Ink technology up to scale.
My understanding is that color E-Ink is a fairly... It's not as it's not like the difference between color LCD and black and white LCD, which is a fairly easy jump. My understanding is that it is a fairly significant technical challenge.
Yeah, so they have color E-Ink, but obviously they don't have it in Kindles or anything
Kindles,
mass-produced, right? So it's going to be interesting to see Mirasol and color E-Ink face off. Maybe they're going to
race,
and then if that happens, stuff's going to get cheaper, and that's good for us.
Okay.
Interferometric modulation.
What else did you guys see? Anything, Matt?
Me and Wes went to what was the booth called? It was called Loomis, I think it was called.
Loom something.
Yeah, Loom something. Basically, it was a
it's
small.
Good. Hold on. What? Just as a CES pro tip here.
Yes.
It's good to remember the names of the places and people and things that you see.
Yes.
This is something over the years I've learned makes it much easier to discuss later on.
Visited them mid-afternoon. I have been writing many things since.
I understand.
I understand. It's been a long day.
A notepad, incredibly useful device.
If I have the right over there.
Okay.
Sony 4K projector is the VW1000ES.
Or you could just commit everything to memory like Norman Chan.
Point is, this company had a few folks.
Or you can tag team things with somebody who has a memory like Norman Chan, and then I can coast like a complete lazy ass, and Norm remembers everything. And then if Norm gets hit by a bus, the whole show's done. We're fucked. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. So the company had a pair of glasses.
Okay.
They were just translucent, you know, or transparent see-through glasses.
Okay.
That overlaid with a heads-up display, like a proper like LCD viewing screen.
Okay, so we saw some ski goggles today that you pointed us over toward.
Yes, that was me. That was different, though.
They put like a little display in the bottom of the goggles. You can kind of. It's almost like an astronaut might have in a spacesuit helmet.
It's a viewfinder.
It was very interesting.
Hold on. I was going to say, I was expecting what you just described.
Yeah, the heads up display.
Not a astronaut.
No, and neither was I. I went into that thinking that it was going to be some sort of overlay on the goggles.
Yeah.
That didn't turn out to be the case. But I still thought it was kind of cool. I mean, a lot of people thought it was actually kind of neat.
I think it's totally neat. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it obviously lessened the, you know, wow factor.
So how does this thing work, the mystery object?
The mystery object. It, as best as I could tell, it has a They're basically using something to reflect an image off of like a small little screen of some sort.
Okay.
Onto these, you know, special.
And how big are the goggles? Paint a word picture.
Not very big. I mean, probably about the size of a normal pair of glasses. Okay. In terms of like how they fit on your face, but the arms of the glasses are rather bulky.
Okay.
So they kind of have like large, not very large, but I mean.
Loomis.
It was Loomis.
Okay, good job then. Okay. Nicely done. You got to own it then. Is this something you could wear in public, or is this lady repellent?
No, so this is not a... The demo that they had was basically it was an iPod Touch that was hooked up to a little box, and the little box was outputting video to the glasses. I get the impression that in the current state, they still have to... first of all, they have to license it to other OEMs to actually implement in their products. Right. They said they were talking to smartphone manufacturers, and they can see this being something that, you know, you have a smartphone without a screen, and the video output is all in these glasses.
Or you leave the phone in your pocket and see who's calling and who's texting without
it. Exactly. You see it all in these glasses.
No, you want to watch for that. I don't want it in my glasses.
But, okay, so...
So the point is that in its current state, they had sort of like a development kit. It was, you know, very exposed wires, looked kind of janky. I mean...
Well, that's the way the stuff frequently
is. Of course, that's the way it is. I mean, if someone built a really nice sort of frame for these glasses, they might look nice, but they're still kind of bulky, and I think they would still be lady repellent. The only... One of the cool things is that the lenses that the image is overlaid onto, it's still just glass, and it can be cut into... it can be cut in any shape you want it to be. So, I mean, you know, if you want it to have really...
Well, hold on, say that again. The lenses overlaid on top of this are just glass?
No. It's just glass lenses, but it's a special sort of glass that picks up the image that's being bounced onto these.
Oh, glasses. So you could make a prescription pair of glasses and have this functionality.
Yes, you could make... Yeah, so the way it works is, if you... this was sort of the caveat with these things is that... So Wes is gifted with perfect vision.
That must be nice.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, oh, I know, nice. Right? So Wes could just put on these glasses and they worked. For me, they had to drop in, so I had to take off my glasses, they had to drop in some inserts that in an actual production version could just be, you know, built into the glasses.
I'll think of your glasses.
I have a -6, I'm pretty blind.
Okay. Whoa.
So that you had to, people like me had to wear a little insert that matched my prescription. The reason for this, though, I mean, it's a little bit janky, but the reason for this is kind of interesting. The way the glasses work is that the image is placed at infinity. So you are focusing at infinity, which means that there's less strain in your eyes.
So does that mean you're looking through?
You are looking, it's as if you are looking through the glasses. The best way I can describe it is if you were to put on your glasses and look down a hallway, it would look as if the image is appearing halfway down the hallway.
How does that work? How do you do that?
It's all with the way that they are reflecting these little screens that are on the side of the glasses.
I can't wait to try those.
I've never wanted to try anything out more.
They're cool. And basically what he did is there was varying brightness levels. So he demoed it for me at 40% brightness. And that was interesting because there was a video clip of a bunch of dancers on a black background. And at 40% brightness, the black background was transparent and you could just see the dancers. So when I looked at the CES hallway, it looked like these dancers were dancing in the hallway.
Oh, that's really cool.
It was very neat. And then what he did is he said, well, what you can also do is if you don't want to see through the background or you just want a solid image, you can ramp up the brightness to 100% and it looks like you are just seeing like an LCD.
That's fucking amazing.
It was really, really fucking cool.
Oh my God. Okay. If you had this technology and gave it to someone 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
It's a superpower.
Yeah. It's
a superpower.
I combine that with
Google. They're done.
Yep.
Win a lot of Jeopardy games.
I should also add, so there was two ones. There was a pair of glasses that I tried out, and there was also sort of like a monocle device. So it was just like, It had the little sort of like reflective thing on top.
Hold on.
The lens.
Could this mean that the monocle might return as a fashion item?
You know what? If they can
buy monocles
miniaturize
today.
This thing enough.
When was the last time you saw somebody wearing a monocle, Norm?
That wasn't a dirty hipster? I don't know.
I've only seen one hipster wear a monocle at Four Barrel.
Yeah.
I got some real Borg vibes from Braga when he had this monocle on, saying, because it's like square. It's not your typical English
square monocle.
It's not your English
monocle.
It's
not a Mr. Peanut monocle.
It's like rectangular.
Was there a chain?
Felt very futuristic. No, there's no chain.
It was surprisingly cool. I mean,
wow.
I read someone else did a write up. I can't remember who, and they complained that, like, oh, you know, the colors are kind of weird and they're shimmering. But if you look at like a dark background with this thing, it looks fantastic. Like, I was really impressed with how well the colors showed through.
Okay, so now this is the question that always ruins this these yep. descriptions.
Yep.
How far out is this as a product?
The way that, so I asked him this question exactly. I said, when are we going to start seeing this in devices? He said, you know, 20, like within the next few years, like 2014, they're trying to, like, it, the technology is definitely there. I think the yeah. problem that they're finding is they need to find people who are willing to implement it.
How does it talk to the device, to the smartphone?
As far as I gather, it is, it's just a standard video output. It's
well, a, so you have to have a cable.
Yeah, you have to have a cable of some sort. I mean, theoretically, you could do it wirelessly.
Cable's a deal breaker.
Yeah, no, a cable, and that's how it was demoed. It was demoed with a cable. It wasn't a huge cable, but I mean, that's why it's, you know, it's something that is, they'll license the tech out.
You know what's awesome?
Someone wants to make it wireless.
When people say, oh, it's technology, well, it'll be out in like 2014.
Yeah, oh, of course.
In my head, that said, oh, it's 4 years away. And no, it's not. It's two years away. It's only 2 years
We're
away.
We're in the future. Yeah. High five. Never mind.
Awesome.
Leave me hanging.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty close. So anyways, yeah, me and Wes tried that out. It was pretty damn cool.
Did you ask them if there was a spec, if anybody's working on a spec to allow interconnection between this type of device and phones?
Well, no, that was one of the use cases he floated. He said they had been in talks with, you know, they with people to have this sort of spec, I guess, connected with phones.
But it needs to be a cross-platform and cross device.
I mean I'm assuming that if it was going to be implemented, it would be a proprietary thing.
Of course,
if you know what I mean. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, if it was cross-platform, I mean.
The way this doesn't work is if it's a mini HDMI cable or MHL cable that you have to run up your sleeve and
oh yeah, of course.
Oh, that's horrible.
That would be terrible.
Okay, I'm busting out the big long list of items here. You know, we touched on the transparent TV a little bit, the transparent LCD. I actually got to go to touch it and to use it for a little bit. In case you weren't listening last night, this is basically take one step back. LCDs work they have a big, it's almost like a screen door. There's a big grid of tiny little cells. Each cell is one pixel. Each pixel has two or three subpixels in it, depending on what kind of LCD it is. And those subpixels illuminate in red, green, or blue to make, or in Sharp's case, red, green, blue, or yellow mm-hmm. to produce whatever color you want. So all four on, all colors on gives you black. No colors on, let the white of the backlight shine right through. So normally in an LCD, there's this screen thing, the LCD itself. And then there's a backlight sandwiched behind it, and that backlight pushes light through the screen, and voila, you have a monitor. Mm-hmm. It's relatively straightforward technology. Samsung had two displays set up that they actually didn't have the backlight, and the back of the monitor was transparent.
This is the Tony Stark.
This is the Tony Stark thing we talked about with Gary a little bit, touched on before a little bit. It's something that I've seen kind of demos of before, but never that were this polished and this kind of slick. So Samsung had. Basically a window in the side of their booth, mm-hmm. and inside that window is a little model of a town, and there were lights and stuff like that. So, the LCD, the window, was a transparent LCD. And they were kind of talking about it being green, which I guess it is, because you use natural light to backlight the screen, but that's not what was cool about it. The cool thing is an interactive fucking window.
Yeah.
So...
So imagine the window behind us.
Imagine a world.
You know, and you see, hey, it's a widget that shows you the weather for tomorrow. And then here's another widget that you can press and put as a Twitter feed or a web browser. It's all touchscreen, of course.
Okay.
And then, you know, on the side of the window is a, you know, digital blind, and then you can pull it.
You pull the fake cord.
The window becomes opaque.
The background goes black.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That sounds really rad.
And it was probably about the size of a 32-inch TV, if I had to guess.
How is this more polished? Because I've also seen ones before that are similar to this. How is this more polished than the ones we've seen in the past?
I've never seen this in the past. Even on smaller scale,
this is big.
Okay.
Not like super big, like not as big as the glass behind us.
How many inches do you know?
32 inches is my guess.
Around then, it was not super high resolution. It was 1366 by 768.
Yep.
Touchscreen was there, and that worked really well. Touchscreen was pretty responsive.
It worked well for what was clearly a tech demo.
IR?
They wouldn't say, it didn't look like IR, they didn't seem to, you know, normally when you have IR, then you have that kind of thick bezel around the edge.
Yeah.
There are capacitive touchscreens that are that big. It didn't seem to be too multi-touch or too responsive, so I don't know if it was capacitive. It could have even been resistive. I think they can do resistive that big now, but I'm not entirely sure of that.
Okay.
Hey guys, I believe one of our guests is close to wanting to come in. Matt, you should probably check your Twitter.
Oh, okay.
That's good to know.
I was just texting.
Which guest is...
friend of Giant bombed and tested.
Oh, okay, very good. So we might have to get maybe Thomas or Joey to. Is he down there, Matt?
No, I do not know.
Okay.
Anyway, let's continue talking.
We're going to keep talking. Yes. Omar, I'll keep going.
Yep.
What we'll do is just turn Matt's mic down when he needs to walk so that we don't deafen anyone in the chat. Matt, anything else before you go that you saw that was fascinating?
Are you guys going to talk about the wheel, the solo wheel? They would.
We can.
Ride?
I don't.
Don't really. I don't.
Would you call it interesting?
I mean, I like the idea.
It looks
no.
like
a, it, so. No, you like seeing someone ride it, maybe.
So here's the thing about it. Let's describe it. Do you remember those push-up wheels that they had in the 70s? Well, never mind. Do you?
Sure.
Just describe it as you did earlier. It is a death segue.
Yeah. So yeah, a death segue is exactly what I thought. Basically, it's one wheel, and each side there's a pedal, and there's little kind of calf cups that you tuck tuck your legs into. Not very deep.
Electric unicycle,
and it's gyroscopically balanced, going forwards and back. But you have to balance side to side, is what Correct. She said. They wouldn't let us ride it for liability reasons. The show runners precluded them. I think they didn't let us ride it because we would have died.
I think it looks stupid.
It was. What was that person's title?
Inventist.
Inventist.
Yes, which, like you said, sounds like a show the CBS would come up with as an inventor. You know,
who solves crimes.
Yeah. Exactly, starring Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, every week, Ed Begley Jr. has to invent a new device to solve the rape of the week.
Four episodes.
Wow.
That's how many of that would show.
Yeah.
Really dark, man. You went to a dark place with that.
We've been riding it in the scary.
No. Don't too much dog food making. That thing looked really dangerous and looked like a million-dollar liability issue.
But as soon as I saw it, if they let us ride it, I just knew in my head this would make a hilarious movie.
Yeah, maybe in a crowded environment. Sure.
Only if somebody died.
Yes.
But it also was hilarious. It was really sad. Really sad for the people who walked up to this Inventist running the booth and asked, hey, is this a Segway?
Yes. I heard that three times while we were standing
really sad.
There. What is this, a Segway?
Who doesn't know what a Segway looks like by now?
People at CES, dude.
There are a lot of people out there who don't know.
Me and Wes had a great moment like that at the Canon booth where someone walked up to the Canon guy and asked him, so do you know what the Lytro camera is? And the Canon guy was just totally unimpressed. And he kept asking him questions about the Lytro camera.
Yeah.
And
that just means that guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was interesting.
Okay, Matt. Run down and get our first victim for the night, if you would.
I will.
He's here. Norm and I are going to keep going.
Yep.
We've got a Matt. We've got...
Meme that.
We're three down on the list.
Okay.
There's 25 things here.
Yeah.
We saw Toshiba also had wireless charging in their booth. Going all the way back to Toshiba. All the way back.
Wireless charging was less interesting than the way they tried to demonstrate wireless charging. They put a tablet in a bag and they put that in a fish tank and it was charging. That's basically it. It was nice. It was cool to see a tablet in a running without
wires. Were there fish in the fish tank?
I don't think there were fish in the fish
tank. I didn't think so either.
No.
They said basically they could put a flat antenna similar to what Palm HP did with the touch or Palm did with the Touchstone in the pre, and PowerMat has done. Kind of awkwardly with a series of third-party accessories and add-ons. It's not an awesome. I'm excited about wireless charging. Mm-hmm. Wes, you said you saw some wireless charging,
and then we got off on a tangent there. Went and talked to them today. They didn't have like the thing we saw at Pepcom that Norm was just talking about. They had sort of your more basic, like what we understand, what we think of with wireless charging, a charging pad that you put your phone on or your
And
whatever.
Do you have to
Power
put some sort of accessory on your phone to make it charge?
Yes. So
I'm done.
Yes. Oh, nope. So the good news is they have, you know, a case that you put on your phone.
Yep.
That kind of sucks.
No, that's
nobody
sucks.
Wants to use that.
Yeah.
It sucks. Period.
The challenge they're at now is basically increasing the amount of power they can transfer wirelessly so that we can do more than a phone. We can do a tablet, bigger devices. But they are now embedding them in phones, in batteries.
In certain... Oh, so like an NFC antenna can be in a phone battery
exactly.
now.
So within the foreseeable future, hopefully in the next couple years... You could go on Amazon or some site and buy replacement battery for your phone that has a wireless charger.
That's much more compelling.
Built into it. It is, yeah. So, because nobody wants to put, you don't want to put a case on your phone. And, you know, I'm hoping that it's not going to be a super limited selection of of phones that support this.
It will be.
It probably will be.
Yeah. Because a lot of phones, there's no removable battery, so you'd have to open the phone up, that's void the warranty, and then swap it out. So
with those phones, you just have to hope that those guys care enough about wireless power that they buy in and put it in the phone.
Do you think people care about wireless power?
I do.
I think people will care about them when Apple puts it on the iPhone.
Yeah,
or Google Nexus. I mean, it
was in the Palm.
Huh?
It was in the Palm.
I think that showed. I think that showed that people cared about it, though. Like the Touchstone dock got as much or more buzz than the phone itself.
Yeah.
I remember when on Fallon when Josh Sapolsky, then of Engadget, brought that on, the touch charging dock got much more reaction from Fallon and the audience than anything that they did with the phone.
Yeah, so, from the Roots loved it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So would you describe wireless power right now as a technology with or without compromises?
I would say with compromises.
Okay, with compromises.
Or it's more like they're building very slowly.
How many people told you that they were going to show you something that was a no compromise something or other today?
Four people.
That was it?
Yeah.
It was more than that, dude.
Yeah, four.
We talked to a lot of people with no compromise. Anyway, no compromise is still the buzzword, 2012 CES.
I got an under $200 today.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what on?
It was the camera that I wrote a post about today, the 360 degree.
Did you take $200 and then put it above the product?
No.
Okay.
And so technically it wasn't to me, but it was to a guy who was talking to one of the people showing the camera off, and and he goes, how much does it cost? And she says, under $200. And then he started giving her grief about that.
Oh. Okay.
Well, don't be that guy.
You don't just when they do that, what you do is you take their phone and you work on it with a ball peen hammer. That's how you
fix the
problem.
If I'd had a ball peen hammer, I would have tried that.
Exactly. We saw LG's their next Android phone. It's another gingerbread phone.
Yeah, it's one they announced at the press conference. Right. LG Spectrum. It's LTE. LTE works surprisingly well.
LTE Verizon.
On Verizon, it works surprisingly really well. In the convention hall.
It was nice.
It was downloading HD video really fast.
Absolutely.
I guess because no one's really on LTE.
Not many people, not relatively many, speaking.
Exactly. Relative to 3G and Edge.
Yeah.
And I think other than that, it wasn't too remarkable.
The screen looked nice.
720p screen.
Yeah, it was a nice
definitely
screen.
But it's running Gingerbread again.
They had a weird color wallpaper on it. I couldn't tell. I mean, they were talking about it being a super, some sort of, they had a marketing term.
Yeah.
Basically, they were saying that their subpixel arrangement was better than other people's subpixel arrangement. They didn't specifically call out Pentile, but when I said, "Oh, so you're saying this is not a Pentile screen? This is a better than Pentile screen," that was clearly something that the product guy was reacted strongly to.
Well, reaction is right because I think these companies react to what consumers are afraid of.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, you know, is fear created by, you know, bloggers.
In the last year, though, we saw several Pentile screen phones and tablets that looked like shit.
They did.
And then when Ray Sonora, who from DisplayMate, who is, I think, probably it would be difficult to argue that he's not the best display guy that's around right now.
He is the foremost publicized, self-promoting display expert on the internet.
Exactly. The screen looked pretty good, but they did have a weird... It was a very orangey-yellow wallpaper, so I don't know if it was good or not. We'll probably get that in and test it out at some point in the next year. Again, unclear whether that's going to have gingerbread on it when it ships, or ice cream sandwich, or be updated soon. We know, because that's July 19th. January 19th.
January 19th.
A J month, I knew. That it's going to be out. And
gingerbread at launch.
Gingerbread at launch, and then a Q1 update to ice cream sandwich, I think was what they... Was what they said.
They won't commit.
But no commitment.
They blame the carriers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they did specifically blame Verizon. We saw the blast chiller. I blast chilled my Zojirushi.
Yes.
Well, you blast chilled my Zojirushi.
Put your Zojirushi in the refrigerator. The blast chiller, if you watched yesterday's show, we explained it's not necessarily a new feature, but definitely a feature people like to write about.
I think it's dumb. I think it's super dumb.
Well, it uses a lot of space. In your fridge, space that could be used for, you know, produce.
Or an egg.
Or a carton of eggs, exactly. Yes. But you could put two cans, two 16-ounce cans in it, or a bottle of wine or something, and then chill it in 5 to 8 minutes.
Okay.
So you don't miss those crucial moments.
So,
or have the foresight to put, you know, your beverages in the fridge, you know, the night before you're going to go have watch a big sporting event.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's an inappropriate name because it is not chill with a blast of cold air.
Correct.
It is a metal ring that goes in the that's in a slot in the fridge, and when you put a it didn't warm my coffee up inside the Zojirushi at all because it's insulated.
Yep.
So if you put a can on there, yes, it's going to leach heat from the can into the metal ring, and you're going to get, you know, some 5 minute cold beer. I do not find that particularly compelling. I think it takes up a lot of space. I think it's dopey.
Yeah.
I think the fact that people are writing about that, I feel bad talking about it because we're part of the problem. Mm-hmm. But if this seems like something that's interesting and good, then it's it's a sad state on the commentary.
Sorry, well, refrigerators are boring.
No.
Fridges are
French door refrigerators are the sex. It's fantastic. It's a revolution in refrigerating.
From 5-10 years ago.
You can get ice in the door, even though the freezer is on the bottom, through some sort of anti-gravity technology or conveyor belt or something. It is magic. Refrigerators. Imagine a world where your refrigerator knows that your bananas are going to go bad. Because when you put bananas in the refrigerator, they go bad.
Yeah, we learned exactly. That. Exactly. Yeah, a day.
Tested.
Yeah,
thanks like a lot. 4 hours.
Someone here in this room.
How many bananas do we have now? None. Oh, wait, I bought more bananas yesterday, so we're good on bananas again.
Don't put bananas in refrigerators,
that's true.
Kids.
We talked about the ski goggles. Yep. I thought they were kind of cool. Basically, you can...
I didn't think they were
cool. You don't want to map inside your eyeballs when you're ski goggling? You have to
look down. I think if you're checking your speed by looking down and not paying attention to
the
mountain...
You're going to John Denver?
Then possibly,
or Sonny Bono.
It's John Denver.
Okay, I think Sonny Bono, too.
No, someone was a helicopter crash, right?
No, one was a Kennedy.
Wait a minute.
Hey, Wes, while we're thinking about that, and we have a guest has arrived. A wild Canadian has arrived. Perhaps we can take a couple questions from the chat, take an ever so short break, bring another person on the couch. Wes, what's going on in the. What's everybody saying out there?
A lot of the questions were from earlier when you guys were talking about TVs and tablets.
Okay.
Any of those. And particularly like the field, either topic, or just should I just grab
just
one?
Just go for it. Pick the most interesting one.
I thought this was a good question. If I can scroll down and find it, see who asked it. M. Savo asks, do you think product manufacturers will move to Windows tablets because of things Google's been doing with Android?
I think that is a very real possibility. I mean, we actually, I don't think we can talk about this stuff, but we talked to several vendors who are going to be leaning hard into Windows 8, who have been making Windows... I mean, I don't think anybody's going to ditch Android to make Windows tablets because it's established... Well, it's kind of an established market, but I think that some of the vendors who are already making Android tablets, especially with ARM coming to Windows, are probably going to leverage existing designs to just release a Windows tablet at the same time. Why not?
Another question along those same lines, since a lot of times we talk perhaps unfavorably about Android tablets.
No. I can't believe you'd suggest that.
Bio Moose asks, can you guys distill down into a couple thoughts or sentences what Android is really lacking as a tablet OS?
Yes, absolutely. And to be fair, we don't hate Android tablets. It's for what we want to do with tablets.
What is it we want to do with tablets?
We want to be able to read web pages.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes.
And comfortably and check email.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I do on tablet.
Maybe
play some games.
I sometimes play games.
Yeah, that's it. And you know what?
And I use Twitter.
Yeah. I'm not saying the iPad is perfect. It's far from perfect.
No.
But it does those things really well.
Right. And video. You can watch video on it, too.
Flash video. Yeah.
So no, I'm not talking about Flash video.
YouTube video works really well.
YouTube video. Yes. I load movies and stuff. I watch them on the airplane.
Yeah.
I perennially. And a lot of this, I think, was Tiger 2 problem, because Tiger 2 had some real problems with H.264 video. But, most of the Android tablets that we tested in the last year, if you don't re-encode your H.264 rip video that works on every other device in the world, it's just not going to work on an Android tablet.
So video is
But Android also, their players play a lot more file formats than iPad.
Yeah, but not with acceleration, so the battery's not destroyed. So you, it's one of those. It's a Hobson's choice or a
Sophie's choice
or a Mendel's choice or some kind of choice that you learned about in philosophy class. Basically, you choose between being able to play every kind of video and having the tablet battery last for like 15 minutes. That's not real good. It's hyperbole, but you know, iPad encoded video that works and it's reasonably supported. Everybody knows how to encode iPad supported video.
Own a tablet today is to own a device with compromises.
You don't think nobody did. Didn't see any no compromises tablets.
No, I'm saying to own any tablet on the market today, including the iPad and iPad 2, is to own a device with a compromise. You just got to pick which ones you can live with. And what your priorities are.
Right.
I mean, I really wish there was good multitasking
on
the iPad. I wish I could do certain things. That's why I have a laptop.
Well, the four-finger swipe helps a lot, but it's not real multitasking.
No, not real.
It doesn't matter. I hope that answers the question.
The question is, for our priorities, we don't think Android suits...
the browser's not good.
And there are alternative browsers.
But alternative browsers aren't the answer.
Not the answer.
Yeah.
And even the best ones aren't up to what I want.
If Google released mobile Chrome for Android tomorrow, Android tablets would immediately be much more interesting, assuming it functions the same way Chrome on the desktop does.
And you know what the best tablet in terms of smoothness of the UI and... Well, not having tried too much internet browsing, but in terms of what I want for multitasking, it's Windows 8.
Yeah.
The Windows 8 tablet experience.
The Windows 8 tablet we handled today felt unbelievably fast. And it's a beta OS on pre-release hardware. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a lovely experience on a machine that's going to cost $1,200. The other thing Apple has going for it right now is their tools are very, very good for building apps. We've heard this from 5 or 6 big-time app developers right now, that the reason they're not developing Android apps is that the Google tools are shit. Google knows it. All the developers know it. It's really hard to monetize Android apps. So all of the app development is going on to iOS because you can put an app in the store for 99 cents, and if it's good and you can get to the filter to the top of the crap pile, then it'll sell some copies. Mark Rain talked about it on Monday. Was that Monday? Seems like about Tuesday. 3 weeks ago. Tuesday?
I think it was Monday. Oh my God, it was Monday.
Yeah, it was a month and a half ago in Will years. But yeah, so I mean the app by building that app ecosystem with the iOS and engaging millions or hundreds of thousands of developers, it allows Apple to bypass a lot of the limitations of that platform by building really highly specialized pieces of software to run on it. So that is a really long answer to a fairly short and straightforward question.
It's good, though, because a lot of times people will get the perception that love the iPad, hate Android.
Yeah.
And sometimes the specific reasons why Android tablets
we just hate it because it's
have
shit.
Problems.
Yeah. I mean,
it gets lost.
Yeah, I mean, the problem, we don't like, there's no, the reason, the thing that's changing now is that we're starting to see some much cheaper Android tablets coming out. So then it gets a lot more interesting because when you have an Android tablet that's not very good and it costs $500 and you have an iPad that also has some problems but does the things that normal people do when they want to browse the web, then you're never going to recommend $500 of shit versus, you know, $500 of something that's okay, right? When you have something that's not real good at $200 versus something that's $500, like the Kindle Fire versus iPad, it's a completely different situation. What we're seeing now is Android tablets with real hardware under the hood, not like the Kindle Fire, and a standard Android experience that are coming in at significantly lower prices in different form factors, and interesting things are happening. So I think it's going to change. I'm optimistic about Ice Cream Sandwich on tablets. We haven't seen that yet. So anyway, let's shut down the chat for just a moment or two. We're going to bring a special guest in, your familiar face. He's wearing a real dumb hat right now, but I think it's Wes or Norm's hat. I can't remember. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Hey, we're back.
Yay.
Adam Boyce.
Gentlemen.
Will, Norm, that Will.
Oh, my God. Will.
You guys had an adventure.
Been so boring.
You guys had an adventure.
Terrible.
What? It's
worse
what?
Than ever.
Am I boring?
The last I'm segment the of the whole thing. So boring. Wait, let's snore everyone to sleep.
You,
hi, guys.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Boyce. How you doing? What are you doing in Vegas?
I was speaking today at the Digital Gaming Summit portion of CES.
What exactly is a Digital Gaming Summit?
It's a little portion. There's actually
are all
a
games digital at this point?
Not, no. Not
I guess board games are. Yeah. But
technically,
all
if something's, they still call things that are shipped on a disc retail.
But even though that those are
technically digital.
Okay.
Digital DVDs.
Digital this Hollywood.
Like digital downloads.
The okay. Digital Summit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Summits.
Yeah, to talk so about the binary time. Code. Ooh. So actually, the panel was awesome. Frank O'Connor, head of Halo.
Love Frank.
Awesome.
Known Frank
dude,
for years.
Right? And
you want to know some trivia about Frank?
Chris Charlotte Griefer, which is
oh, I love
kind
Chris
of
Charlotte too. Yeah, great, yeah, good guys. Did you know when Frank plays fighting games, he holds his controller upside down?
That's
so instead of holding the controller with your thumbs up like this, he uses his fingers on the buttons and the D-pad.
That's crazy.
And does it upside down. It's fucking insane.
You know that Wait, Seth what? Killian can beat tournament champions at Street Fighter with one hand.
Really?
He can do supers. He can do yeah.
Just
anyway.
Just
Zangief supers
I'm trying
with
right
a one
now.
Hand.
That's
I know, not, it's amazing. Not, it's
yeah,
amazing.
No way. It's like it working the thumb or is it with
yeah,
the
yeah, he stuff? Does the whole and then he presses. He moves it off during the movement and moves. Wow. It's amazing.
You know gamers what? I, can like execute Street Fighter with one hand.
Seth can.
Can a hook a bra?
This
right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Zangief super, but no
Jesus
bra.
That was
well,
such
been
a burn,
a
dude. Such a burn. I mean, it's a junior high school burn too. That was really well done.
I still have never been able to take on my wife's bra.
Okay. Well, you're a lucky man.
Okay. So let's bring it all full circle. So
how,
Frank
many,
O'Connor,
how many kids do you have?
Two. Every time I come on the show, it's another one. I'm just,
I know.
By next year, I'm going to have seven.
We're not going to invite you back. And,
no.
You know, just it's for your own good.
Represent.
There's going to be
nine children.
Glad you're here.
Exactly. I'm glad I'm here,
what's
too.
What's the story? You couldn't get here last year, but you wanted to.
Yeah, Braga bounced you, right?
I was in the basement. Matt Braga bounced me. I was in the basement cowering in the corner drinking a very low alcohol cocktail. And I was like, Matt, I'm downstairs. Where are you at? Where are you at? And he's like, ignoring you / ignore.
I think it was like, did Matt even know who you were?
I think Matt.
There was a mix up.
Well, he was doing a Canadian trivia thing and got the one that I put on wrong, and then he was mad at me.
So you're on your phone in the casino on chat?
By the way, the
Steve
Martin.
Braga?
The Steve Martin that he failed at the other night, that was mine.
That was good.
Because I knew that because I always thought he was Canadian as a Canadian.
He looks Canadian.
And I knew because you always think awesome comedian.
Yeah.
Canadian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so I threw that out there and I stumped that effort.
What
anyway,
about Mike Myers?
Yeah, wow. We've got beef.
Okay.
Him and I, because last year he kept me out.
That's good. That's good. It's good to have beef with the youth of America.
Yeah, it is. Or the youth of Canada.
Canada. He's in America now. We're keeping him. He's okay.
So say house.
House.
Oh, yeah, so he says, no problem.
Say 9 years. Moose.
Okay. Say mouse.
Mouse.
Say the mouse went into the moose's house.
The mouse went into the moose's house.
See?
No
it's dead
problem.
Simple.
Nine years, Matt. 9 years, dude. You'll get your stripes one day, son.
Do you carry a little chit around with you?
No, but I do. I remember the day I was living in Chicago, and I was talking to my parents on the phone, and my sister was on the phone, too, and she goes, oh, we just bought a new couch. And I'm like, I've never heard the accent before.
Yeah.
It's just part of my being. And then I heard it, and I was like, you fucking Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, but that's me too.
You with your flappy heads.
And
your,
the weird thing is, I was on a call
Brian
2 weeks
Adams.
Ago. 2 weeks ago with this guy from LA, and he goes, "Are you from Canada?" I'm like, "I've never in 6-8 years nobody's asked me that." He's like, "I can hear certain words." I'm like, "Are you stupid face?" I didn't know what to say.
Yeah,
I was stumped.
You just hang up the phone and walk away.
So Frank O'Connor is on the panel.
I love
with
Frank.
Us.
Yeah. Chris
James from Hasbro, who's the head of all the digital interactive stuff,
like Monopoly and stuff like that.
All the video game extensions that they're doing.
Oh, okay.
He's the head of Battleship.
That's the word
game,
for it now. Extensions.
G.I. Joe. Well, okay.
Battleship game based on the movie, based on the game,
based on the movie that's based not on the. That movie boggles my mind.
I can't wait
for a
Battleship game that is Battleship. That is voiced by Liam Neeson instead of the electronic battleship voice.
See? But they won't. They'll make it an action game. They'll make it as crappy as G.I. Joe. Anyway, nice guy. They're doing a great job.
Okay.
Then we had this other guy, Jeff Gomez, who works for a transmedia company he founded. And they help create fiction around bigger plays. So they worked on
Transmedia.
It's the big buzzword.
Transmedia means awesome dudes. What were you doing? Were you moderating?
No, oh. I was on it. I work with the YNC company and MGM and Kraft Foods. So
you're in the biz.
I tricked them. And then the guy who runs Stardoll, which is a 140 million user female tween thing.
Something we had no idea existed.
Right, but check this out. So, yeah, we can make fun of, like, you know, social games and dress-up dolls and stuff like that. So they became so popular.
I actually don't make fun of that. I think it's really cool.
I do.
We've fucked up for years. I mean, well, no, the gaming industry has fucked up for years with games for kids, girls, especially.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And, I mean, it's...
Who knew? They just wanted to put clothing on dolls.
Right.
Who knew? Shocker. So...
Get Our Live Beach Volleyball.
I want to dress up those girls.
Perfect game
lots
for
of
girls.
Friends.
Gina loves it.
Yeah, so, love it.
So
she thinks it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Transmedia.
She likes it. Offensive.
Stardoll ends up doing a deal with JCPenney, takes these digital, the most popular digital clothing collections, and releases them in the store.
Bratz.
Increases. No, you can buy the full outfit that are virtual that
for
have
you.
Never been for you, for your body, not for a little
wow.
kid. Increases. The volume of visitors to jcpenney.com, unique users, by like 8,000%.
More so
sells out more so than any program they've ever done.
Even
the
cheat on Google one?
Cheating, yeah.
Yeah, even when they cheat on Google for like a year and a half?
Yeah, like
that is impressive.
Through the roof. Sells out in a matter of weeks. So JCPenney goes, maybe we're onto something. Doubles the in-store size of the display on now Stardoll's like the new...
That's crazy.
But
what is
the what?
What is the dude equivalent for that?
Dude equivalent of something virtual, I guess buying...
It's that you decorate a car in Forza, and then you go buy the car, and it has the decorations from Forza. So it has an enormous cock on the hood.
Yeah. Somebody else bald that Johnny made.
Yeah, exactly.
And tricked me into downloading it.
A couple of big scrotum hanging off the trailer hitch on the back of your car.
Hairy chest with...
Exactly.
Gross. Anyway, but the fact that the digital good has become a real world thing and vastly popular and has changed the way that JCPenney... It was interesting. I mean, again, transmedia, right? Turning digital into...
This was a sex thing, but okay.
No, it was interesting. I mean, we talked a lot about how... What successful campaigns were where they took an IP and made it transmedia? And I said none.
Yeah,
that seems
about right.
None.
Yeah,
none of them have been awesome.
What about fingerprints?
People don't what
is fingerprints transmedia?
What is that?
You remember the WoW? You could print your character from WoW.
Yeah, that was Ed Freeze. Yeah. He's a smart dude. I mean, that's awesome. But I'm thinking about a whole campaign. Like Avatar the movie was great.
Yeah.
The game was crap, and then and then like so a real true approach. Made by creative people that actually give a crap.
Not just shoveling. Yeah.
And that's the problem. And that was sort of the big thing we were trying to solve.
Not
on that
for
panel.
Synergy's sake.
I precursored. I said, I don't want to say this word, but I'm about to say there needs to be more synergy.
Oh my God. It's just like a good
company. And then I flipped the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then drop the mic and walk away.
Yeah.
Boom.
But Frank's a good dude, man. It was fun. It was good.
Did you see anything in the show?
I went to the floor. I went to the Kensha Hall, the northern part of North. I feel like I'm in Game of Thrones. It's like the northern part of the North Hall.
Yeah, winter's coming.
Yeah, winter is coming. After spending some time in that corner of the world, winter's coming.
Did you see the Audi booth?
No, I don't. Maybe that was in the southern.
It was in the southern end of that hall.
It was a central northern. Yes.
The Audi booth. I'm gonna give you a brief description of what it is.
Yeah.
If you took
this is good beer.
I
actually don't like Heineken.
Well, it's what they had in the convenience store in the grocery store downstairs. If you took every light bulb that's in the entire rest of the convention center and then took that number of bulbs and put it in one like 12,000 square foot booth. That's how bright the Audi booth is. Yeah. It's like a white cube of sun.
Yeah,
it was like
in
being
Vegas
in a Tron.
At like 10 a.m. That's the last thing you want.
You know,
that brightness.
Everyone was like squinting.
It reset my circadian rhythm when I went inside that booth.
I don't even know. Is that gear in Star Wars: The Old Republic?
No, dude. It's the thing that makes you sleep at night and wake during the day.
You're from Canada.
You should know this.
40 gear that I need.
When you get above the 49th parallel, it's dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun comes up at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Vancouver. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is what those people need. They need this sun booth to go in. You put your loony in there, you get 5 minutes, and it blasts you with enough healing rays
and
that you wake
happened?
Up.
And then what happened?
Then we went someplace else and saw something better. Norm beat a phone with a ball peen hammer.
They asked him to do that?
No, he just did it.
No, that would be fun if they asked me to do it.
He took it. Yeah. He took. He said, "Hey, can I chuck a phone around in this case? Yeah. This sturdy case."
A lot of underwater cases. Yeah, there a lot of people swimming while on the phone.
You know, Joel, days? Can we bring like a bag? And the best part was, Ziploc bag.
There were
of water.
Ziploc bags with a fucking logo on the side. I can swear on this one, right? I can do a joke.
Okay, fuck shit, piss, yeah, cunt. Okay. Yeah.
Well, who's swimming? And then who's pulling the Walkman out? He's like,
Norm's losing his shit.
Nieces and nephews.
It's Vegas after dark. If we can't curse here, then where can we curse?
Amen, brother. Yeah, swimming and phoning.
Yeah.
They're like demoing. They're like, I can talk through the.
No, here's, why can you here's blub, the thing.
Blub, blub? What the fuck are you going to say?
What do cases look like?
Is it, it looks like a fucking Ziploc bag. I saw it's sized to the device with a Ziploc top with the logo of whatever the device is on the back in case you didn't know what an Android tablet looked like in a bag.
You know,
it's like a Ziploc bag.
I'll admit this. I have taken baths with a Kindle in a gallon Ziploc bag. Someone would read my book in the bath.
That's weird. I almost...
Do you not
I
read
almost,
the book
I
in the bath?
Dragged, no, I almost... Okay, okay. Two things, TMI. I almost dragged and dictated to my iPad in the bath today.
Okay, I can see
that. Who goes to Vegas and has a bath, first of all? I guess I do. But weird I almost baths. Dragged and dictated. Yeah. In a hotel?
In the suite.
It's kind of weird. Yeah, that's a big thing.
I have a process for the hotel
I'm
bath.
I'm in the Imperial Palace, my friend.
I wouldn't touch a bath in the Imperial Palace.
That's why I didn't see a lot of blue light, you know, scanners.
Yeah, no, don't turn that on. No. It looks like the surface. It's like
Wi-Fi
the
Wi-Fi is like $30 a night. I mean, this is like, wow. It's a Stone Age.
Does it come with a free prime rib buffet?
It comes with a 300 baud modem.
Okay, that's pretty good. We have fat internet here.
Don't tell me that.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to tell you. I get jealous. Well, you can connect to our Wi-Fi. You can mooch.
Right now, but I didn't bring all my gear.
Well, too bad.
I brought my laptop to play Star Wars. I've not played Star Wars, but I brought my laptop.
This is a grim, grim place to be.
My Asus Republic of Gamers laptop.
Hey, but Asus. ROG.
I heard you. I'm going to call it Asus. I don't care how you say
it. It's Asus.
It's not.
I had a 15-minute conversation with Nokia people this morning about the proper way to say Nokia.
Nokia.
There's different pronunciations that are acceptable in the United States, England, and in Finland.
I grew up calling it Mario. I've changed since I moved to the U.S.
Pasta?
But all my family now. Now it's this battle because I pronounce everything Americanized.
Yeah, the right way.
And avocado, my mom calls it.
We don't take language.
But my wife is American and she called it Oregon.
Well.
That's just strange.
That's in the song.
It's weird. It's weird. Hold on, we were talking about something.
Stuff I saw.
Yeah.
North of the Northern Hall.
Northern
Hall. So the magnet click share thing, skunk, works.
Oh, we missed that.
So you have headphones, right? Yes, they are plugged in normally. They have a magnet just like on your Mac charger.
Okay,
and I see you, and I slap my magnet onto yours, and boom, we're sharing the same music.
Sounds filthy. So it's
and then
like
somebody
an avatar.
Else comes
how,
in.
How does the music move from
it's
from
the magnet clearly has just like the power strip thing.
So in order for this to work, everybody in the world has to have these headphones.
If you're going to share with your buddy. Yeah.
Hey, so you want to buy a pair of matching
you can,
headphones.
And then you slap on, and then you have a headset, yeah. Right? You slap the magnet on. So you can stack up to 10 magnets or whatever, okay. Share a bunch of friends.
Can
I mean,
you talk
I thought,
to each other with the headset?
Yeah, but you're right beside each other. Because
you're also listening to music.
But that part of it is kind of cool. Like, you don't need splitters. I would always go on trips.
This is
I
like
want to
sporting.
Watch a movie with my wife on the plane. Not that we have kids now, so it's, you're not watching right. Anything. You're watching.
You get a splitter.
Yeah.
It's fine. Splitter.
No, but this
at least
is
your man
it's,
defense
it's cool.
With the kids
it's cool.
Still. Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah, one on one.
It's like wireless charging, but for audio.
Speaking of wireless, did you see the power bag? Those things are amazing in my geek world.
Yeah.
In actual, they probably charge really, for 15 minutes.
Yeah, this is the thing that's like a chemical battery in a sack.
It's a big, well, you have a whole laptop bag and all the plugins are sort of in there.
Oh.
And you charge a big, huge thing. You plug in the bags.
This is the third generation of these that I've seen. Because they come in and out.
Well, because they never work, but.
No, they work. They like APC made one that works. The problem is the bag weighed about 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So.
Who's it for? It's for like hikers.
No.
It's for burly men like me.
Yeah, it's for big Canadians.
They want to walk around for fucking 4 hours and throw their back out.
So, do you know what. I don't know if this is true. This is maybe apocryphal because it was part of a marketing survey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I once read that toilets. Are the number one killer of smartphones. Because you're on the job with your smartphone. You put it back in your pocket, you get it all the way. And
you know how many toilets are there in America?
Right,
probably
millions.
500 million.
They're unstoppable killing machines, apparently.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't put your smartphone in your shirt pocket.
Right.
I do clench it tighter when I'm pissing and looking for Twitter.
Exactly.
Sometimes I'm looking... No, at home.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
I don't sit to... Do you sit to pee?
No. I'm talking about the urinal, dude.
But sitting would be more secure. That's how we predict... Maybe that's how we predict things.
Hi. What are you even talking about?
Maybe that's how we reduce iPhone desks. Is you sit to pee. Drew sits to pee?
What?
Was that why your handle was up?
No.
Oh,
Drew. Wait,
say
Drew
hi.
Doesn't have a microphone.
Jesus, mother of...
Drew, call hey, Drew, you want to tell a story?
About the
story? About the room?
No.
Okay.
Oh, let's talk about our gambling system that I made.
Okay, all right.
Enormously
Drew
profitable.
Drew and Joey has a gambling... They have a gambling system also, which is like similar to yours.
Mine's better.
Yours is better, I think.
100% profit.
So yesterday I was at the blackjack table with Gary and Gary's friend, and it's...
No
it's,
wonder
it's,
you're fucking tired all the
and
time.
Mark Simon. He was drinking water.
Yeah, drinking water, and I went to bed early.
Yeah, I know what he drinks when he plays blackjack. He drinks Red Bull and Jägermeister, which cancel each other out.
Water. I have had many...
Uh-huh. I've been at the blackjack table with you before.
A young man's drink, as everyone says. That's what they say. Young man's drink.
Yeah, I just drink.
Gary Wood was doing a good job on the table.
Gary Wood
isn't there until 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
I had to leave at 3.
He's serious Vegas.
Yeah. I didn't even want to be there at 3. It went from 7 p.m. last night to 3 a.m. in a fucking hour.
That's a bad.
That's too many.
You don't want to lose that much time.
That's my fourth F-bomb.
So that's fine. Sit at the table, have a good time, and then you walk by. You don't play blackjack, right? You have a system for things.
I'm a craps guy. Yeah. I just
like
blackjack. Yeah, I'm a hardcore gamer. If I figure out a system that works for me,
that's right.
That's all
so
I want to
talk
do.
About the system.
That's all I want to do.
And the
so
system
you're
was
in Vegas.
The system was every time your system worked, you would take one of my chips and come back with double the chips. That's all I cared about. You were my.
I was your agent. I was your profit agent.
Yes. Did you take 10%?
He didn't take any cut.
Nothing. Not yet. That's why I came back tonight.
You want to ball peen him and work on his fingers if he doesn't
come
up the dough.
The system is the greatest system that Vegas has ever seen. If there's
disclaimer, please do not use this advice and
yeah,
gamble.
Don't gamble. Gambling's really bad.
Yeah.
This is why I don't gamble.
It's really unfortunate that I made $5,000 from the system.
No.
But it doesn't work. There's no math. It's just pure nothing. It's shenanigans.
It's just ridiculous.
It's smoke and mirrors. It's not even luck. It's a curse. That is one day I'm going to keep doing the system.
Right, and next thing you know, you're going to be a hobo with a shopping cart and your
shotgun.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it's crystal clear. In my mind, it is an amazing system.
Okay, explain this.
It's flawless.
This completely not scientific.
And you can play
20
tables at the same time. It's really amazingly easy. And we were doing it.
Great.
So the whole thing is, if there's five or more of one color.
Is this
on a roulette table?
Oh no! Oh no!
You bet on the other color.
Hold on.
And then.
I totally agree. I absolutely believe you.
I think way too much money into the stupid system. It's terrible. Every time I roll people into it, though, they lose their shirts. Because that's part one, and part two is if you lose. Double your bet and bet again.
Oh, my God.
And you chase it.
This is the worst.
And you chase it.
The worst advice I've ever heard. First off, roulette is a loser game. The odds
every game in Vegas is a loser game.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Will.
Caribbean.
You see where we are, my
Caribbean Sun Poker is the loser
game. Pai-Gow is the least loserest game.
And you stared at the roulette table, and you said, oh, man, so many, that's a lot of black in a row.
And I would just grab a $25 chip, and I would come back with 50.
Let me ask you this. You travel a fair amount.
Yeah.
When you get on an airplane and there's nobody on the fucking airplane, are you nervous?
No.
You know that the vast majority of airplanes that crash are significantly less than full capacity.
I don't care. It's not my...
Not in your head. I think what you're playing is the exact same odds as that. You're saying that most people are losers. If most people are on black, you go red.
No. That's not all.
No.
If there's five in a row, it's bound to go the other way.
It's flipping a coin.
It's flipping a coin.
Yeah, well,
it's saying, "Oh, you have five heads.
Right.
I bet $100 is tails.
Right.
$200 is tails.
The odds are good.
$400 is tails." And I've done that. But when I brought some friends into the group once, and it ended very badly. The worst part was, so I brought my cousin, my brother. No, my brother, and my cousin, never been to Vegas before. I tell them about the system. They're like, "That's the worst system ever. We're going to do it with you."
Yeah.
So we started with $25.
Okay.
And then we lost.
Responsible.
To 50.
Oh, no.
To 100.
Oh, no.
To 200.
This is the point at which
And then we're all like panicking because we don't have enough cash to get to 400. And then the pit boss comes over. You know what he says to us? The ball has no memory. And he walks away like fucking Matrix, like poof.
So you just keep on the same color this whole time?
Yeah, you have to. It's got to go the other way.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's got to go the other way.
Oh, no, you keep switching.
No, you
keep
No, it will go to the other color.
Oh, this is a terrible plan.
That time, so basically day one, they're like, that's our budget. But for me, it's dumb, but it works.
Well,
it's terrible. It's not a, I do not condone or.
Dumb words from a dumb man.
Yeah, that is the most honest truth I've heard all season.
Yes. Should we talk about, we have a couple more things on the list.
Okay.
Okay.
Bear with us as
and
we
it's,
go.
And it's dumb. It's mostly dumb.
Yes. No, one cool thing we can talk about.
Oh, yeah, a couple of cool things.
Booth babes. They had booth babes.
It's so sad.
It is sad.
Do you have
I went to the IGN
really
party.
Depressing booth babe stories.
No, a lot of them. Some of them with like big spare tires. Like you're like, I don't. Were you discount? Was it like Craigslist? Like
this is a question you immediately regret asking, isn't it, Norm?
There were bigger girls. Maybe it was for a bulky product that was like a rugged case.
Maybe they needed
a little bit more. Now I regret asking this question.
Bumpers.
Oh my god! Because I was talking about being at like the digital experience event, and some like really creepy old dude was like putting his arm like on the booth babes. Like
the small of her back. Oh,
and like
that makes
and
me
grabbing
angry.
It was really uncomfortable.
But at the end of the day, they get $200, right?
I don't.
That
know.
Sounds terrible.
Cover hands.
You got it if you're going to go all in. I
think
you're an old creeper. You got nothing to lose except for maybe jail time.
I think Seacrest hover hands Ballmer the other night at the Microsoft keynote. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I probably would. He's a sweaty guy. It looks like. Okay, so we saw headphones that fit in. You know how you put a pair of Apple earbuds in your...
Apple makes terrible earbuds.
Yeah, people accuse us of being Apple fanboys. Apple makes the worst, shittiest pack-in earbuds ever.
With the best microphone, actually. I've found that on the other end, people say... But the pack-in earphones are atrocious.
They won't stay in your ear.
Nope.
I mean, I've...
This is in my ear.
No.
They never, ever stay in my ear.
But what about
my ears are crevasses. Stuff.
My ear holes must be bigger than yours.
Mine are mad. Look at the size of my head. I've got my own orbit up here. It's a big, massive Canadian
And they sound bad. So it's like a double whammy. They're not comfortable. They sound bad.
That's why the upsell is so much better. Most people can't tell the difference, to be honest.
I see a lot of white earbuds.
Wear the white earbuds, and they're perfectly fine with them. And that's why Monster can sell a ton of
Monster.
We should measure ear hole sizes.
I like that. How do we do? We use like
Get some silly putty, jam it in there, and then we weigh.
I bet Drew has really big ear holes. Earlobe.
I love the Apple earbuds.
What? Drew loves the Apple earbuds.
How can Drew love the Apple earbuds?
Because I can feel like I can shove them in my pocket.
Because they're disposable.
I have in my pocket the Sony Ericsson. This is always... See, this is what happens every time.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Like, I pull this out and I have like a half-hour task ahead of me.
Yeah.
I don't want to do fucking Jenga out of my pockets.
Yeah. I don't want earbuds. You just have
anyway.
You can just keep shaking them and eventually they'll get really, really knotted and all be cinched down.
But when I'm talking on them, these are like, they go in your...
They jam in there pretty good.
And they have a microphone that is not that good. But.
Yeah, I once had to go to the doctor because one of the cups...
Fell off
in my ear. It's like,
oh my god!
Like,
the worst would be when it was
shit.
That's like a bad lost condom story.
And then
I was just thinking,
oh my god,
we read it.
I know.
Come on,
oh, terrible. I read it.
Okay, so
and then they found a second one.
Earbuds falling out is a common problem. Look at me pull this back on track. They had at a booth in Kensha North today. They had a. The member of the world trying out for the U.S. Olympic trampoline team.
And they were wearing the...
Trampolining 24 feet in the air with the earbuds in.
Yes.
Now, this is a dumb, dumb concept.
Yeah.
Almost as bad as
I thought they were selling
concept.
Trampolines.
I wish they were selling trampolines.
I know. It's a trampoline.
There was a lot... By the way, just a little side note. There was a lot of Olympic... Like, somebody representing their brand was like a gold medal something at a biker with a virtual bike... I mean, they were all.
I sat next to an Olympian at the Microsoft keynote.
If it's good enough for an Olympian, it's good enough for us, right?
I suppose.
Do I look like
they have tiny ear holes?
I'm a world class beer drinker.
Curling, man, that's a sport for us.
So
we should try the Bay Area curling.
I threw my
Do you even remember what was the name of the company?
No.
Yeah. See, it was right behind the trampoline in big letters. I have no idea.
Trampoline.
What company it was?
Trampoline.
Trampoline. That's a good name.
Trampoline.
That is
so we saw that. Let's see. We also saw, well, we saw the death segue, which we've already talked about.
Dude, that thing is amazing.
We saw the
segue.
We saw the dot.
Yes, that's the good thing. This is actually
the dot. Hold on. That thing goes 10 miles an hour and has a 22-mile range. Think about riding 22 miles standing on that
in one way, and then you're screwed. You just get there.
That's
you're like,
10 miles per hour.
Yeah, charge them out.
There's no way. There's no way.
10 miles an hour and 22 miles.
It's not weight rated for
2 hours.
Lofty men.
2 1/5 hours.
Hefty men. There's no way I would.
No, I couldn't get up the hill in Pacifica with that thing on the freeway. It wouldn't go well. We saw the dot. The dot is an iPhone accessory. I should have brought it down with they gave us one to take home and test out. But you
get a lot of free stuff because you guys
are we try not to because it's a pain in the ass to carry it around.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
And especially since you want to keep the product manuals and stuff, then you know it's bad news. We only take stuff that's really, really awesome. This looks pretty awesome. So, you know, you've used those panorama apps where you like start the picture and you kind of go
snore, yeah.
Up, down, left, right, boring. Okay.
It's an app. You pan and then you get a wide picture. Sure.
This is a little lens that doesn't glue, but it mounts fixes. Over the yes. iPhone camera sensor, the back one, the good one. And
laser, okay.
No, it's not a laser, but
it's a fancy lens.
A wide angle.
It's like a weird shape. Yeah,
yeah. It's a mirror and then a parabolic mirror on the bottom, and it works like you know when you sell your house and the realtor comes in with that camera.
Yes.
With the pole.
Yeah,
and the mirror.
You always know. There's always that dark spot.
Same thing, but for video. So you can make 360-degree panoramas video.
I don't want to see what's happening in the back corner while I'm filming.
No. So you hold the phone like this.
Okay. So you hold it
you
flat.
You hold it flat.
So that it's face down. When you screen's face
while
down.
While you're watching it, people are using their mouse to look around?
Well, it's not like live streamed or anything like that. No. But when you play it back, you can use your mouse to look around. You can set keyframes, show the path. Sorry, I misunderstood. And go through the whole thing. And then you can upload that to Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Yeah. It seems pretty cool.
360-degree video.
What?
Nerds.
Cool for what?
Grog nerds. People
I just like
us.
Like
it's a really... Dribble of a drink at night, and we'll play Magic Gathering, and we'll film it, and then we'll watch it in 360. Did you see when you picked your nose,
that
Will?
That was like Saturday
at 9:30 p.m.? Yeah. No, that's like... That was my whole Christmas break, dude. Trust me. Anyway, it sounds... I mean, again, this whole thing is a for-us-by-us thing. Like, they're... The very little people sit down and go, what do consumers need? What do they need? Well, no, it's just like, what would I want?
That's Kindle, iPhone, maybe an Android phone.
Kindle Fire is garbage.
I'm not talking about Kindle Fire. I'm talking about Kindle. The good ones.
But this dot thing, they're also getting to work with the GoPros. So dudes who put cameras on their like helmets when they go snowboarding down double black diamonds can now have 360
How much? How many megapixels is that?
It's a normal 1080p video.
So they're just stretching out the video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's a different aspect. Yeah. It's just a weird donut looking shape.
Exactly.
It was pretty neat. We thought that was
so
cool.
So use their app, use their plugin on the browser, on the Facebook app to watch the video.
I just, like most time whenever you're filming, you're pointing at everyone else in the room is just sitting there looking
It's unshapely. Not for recording this.
Right? But what is it for recording is my question.
Things and stuff. 360-degree
sports, probably.
Yeah,
action.
Yeah, we should get football players to hold that on the field in the middle of plays.
Put it on their helmet. Like all of them player. On the helmet,
exactly.
And everyone can see everything all the time.
Let's see. We went to Lenovo. We saw some. I'm a little sneezy here. We saw some pretty good stuff at Lenovo. We saw an all-in-one desktop machine, and it's a touch desktop machine. It was. Would you say that was inspired by the iMac?
Well, touch desktop machines, like HP's had them for a while, right? All-in-ones. Many companies make all-in-ones now, but they still exist. People love them. They try to sell them.
It's a fairly large category.
If families who buy one shared computer or kitchen computer, all the ones were fine. This one had a really big 27-inch touchscreen, 10-point touchscreen.
A 1080p touchscreen,
But 10 points.
How is that? How is the responsiveness?
Just like an iPhone.
Yes. Yes. Huh? Running
on a huge screen.
Wow.
Yeah. Minority Report, Hello Batman kind of stuff.
Also,
I have a story about.
Okay.
Tilts down and goes flat on the table if you want to use it as
like a surface.
Yes.
Okay. So the whole thing.
It's on a pivot and it'll go all the way flat. Okay. And it also has feet so you can put it like.
Well, so the two screens or a keyboard then screen? And
well,
the
there's a keyboard and mouse attachment like normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we have some video that it's, I think, probably should be in the day wrap, but pretty neat stuff.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little side note. So I'm at the Microsoft party last night and they have a DJ on a big stage. But it's on the rooftop of wherever we were.
Cosmopolitan or something?
No, MG Bro. Whatever it was. And he had a transparent, like a frosted glass It was just frosted glass, about yay big, and a projector behind it, projecting his entire DJ setup. And then he was touchscreening, commanding Minority Report the whole entire night of music.
That is crazy.
And you could see it from behind. I'm standing behind it. I took a photo and tweeted yesterday. And I'm standing behind it, watching everything
he's
doing.
Like all sorts of crazy,
and it's all see through. Yeah, he's like,
that is incredibly cool.
Holding it up, and I have. Let me. I mean, no,
well, it's not gonna be looking for the audio. We'll look at it later. But
yeah. But I was like, cool. Yeah, it was like a transparent Surface, Microsoft Surface. But I don't think it was actually a Microsoft product. But the projector, I guess, was detecting where he's pressing, much like those projected keyboards,
like the thing you see in the Metreon. Yeah, with the fish, the koi pond.
Yes, but cooler.
Okay,
because. Good music was coming out of it, I guess.
Yeah, DJ.
And really good food. Microsoft did not. Yeah.
Vegas is full of good banquet food. Lenovo, we saw some other Lenovo stuff. We talked about this a little bit with Gary before, but we'll hit it again.
Yeah, we only saw one ice cream sandwich device.
Yeah, the entire time we were out.
Every time and I hear the name of that device, I just want to eat.
Eat an ice cream sandwich.
We had that problem.
Love ice cream.
Yeah, we had a lot of ice cream sandwiches for dumb jokes in the last 3 months.
The Lenovo has a TV that runs ice cream sandwich.
Lenovo, you know, doesn't traditionally make TVs.
They've never made a TV.
I found out something tonight, hanging out with some friends. Vizio, the old Vizios, run on Yahoo.
Really?
Yeah.
The Vizio TVs?
Yeah.
The widgets? Oh, they're Confabulator.
Yahoo.
Remember Confabulator?
Yeah, before it was bought by Yahoo.
Yeah, well, Yahoo Widget Engine is what it's called now. I actually liked Confabulator back in the day.
Back
when widgets
back in the day,
like they were going to be
back
a thing.
In the day.
Yeah, and not so much anymore.
I just laughed out loud because I was like, I didn't know. Like, do you have a bad email address too when you buy one? I mean,
you use your
Yahoo free
ID.
Flickr account.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And the link sharing thing that
Flickr is the best Yahoo product that I used to.
I also found out some great intel about how when Vizio came out, they were super low price compared to everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was, you guys probably know the story. I'm like the games guy kind of thing.
No, yeah.
So it was all collusion. All the old big TV companies, they had these massive manufacturing plants that were all made for tube manufacturing, mm-hmm. right? So what they did is they purposely kept the price high. Mm-hmm. So adoption rate was very low. Yeah. So it would give them time and they would, because they had such big profit margins, that would pay for their transition of their manufacturers. So Vizio rolls in, right,
mm-hmm.
goes straight to the people that make the stuff, the Foxconn or whatever, mm-hmm. and basically buys all the stuff and starts selling it 40% less.
Yep.
Same quality stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that's why now Vizio is no longer
and
low
those,
price.
And those manufacturers got caught and paid heavy, heavy fines.
Right, and now you can buy a $1,500 TV, that's a $1,000 TV that's a 50-inch TV and looks really nice.
Yeah, and now profit margin is sort of in the pooper. But I kind of thought that this was probably what happened, but sort of hear from TV guys is kind of neat.
Stuff
you guys already know. And
super, super.
Well, we covered that 9 months ago, Adam.
No, I don't think we ever talked about it. It's
2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you just assume that you're getting fucked everywhere you go, right?
Yeah. I was like, why is Vizio... Did Vizio do an awesome deal with Costco? Is that why they're cheap or what the...
I mean, in fairness, they made some kind of products that were a little sketch for a while, but quality...
The bottom line is back then, when I was at Capcom, we outfitted our hiring...
2007, probably.
Testing... I got there in 2007. We bought 40 TVs, all Vizios, mm-hmm. all... 32 inches for like $299, which back then is
That's a lot of TVs for $300.
It is. Yeah. See, they were like
$10 each. $10 each. That's amazing.
Oh, we
fucking giving them away.
Anyway.
Lenovo. Folding laptop.
We talked to Gary about this. So
it's
the first Windows 8 laptop that we've seen. It's called the Yoga. And it folds all the way back. The hinge goes all the way. So it can put on a tablet. So the keyboard turns off when it's folded all the way back. Trackpad turns off. It's still relatively light.
Yeah.
Runs Windows 8 on a Ivy Bridge processor.
Wasn't that
it was a thing for a while.
Eight years ago?
Well, it's the swivel. The swivel, right?
Okay.
But this isn't a swivel. It's folded all the way back.
Yeah, it's totally different.
I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to use them.
The difference is that there's a touch UI now that's
right.
actually worth using.
So it makes it sense.
Or potentially, there's a touch UI that's actually worth using.
The all-in-one stuff... I want whatever's I'm using, I want to be the best at that, you know? So if I want a tablet, I want the best tablet that's a tablet. It's kind of like
don't want to buy Windows 8 then.
Well, no, I mean, I think their goals are fantastic, and from what I haven't seen on the floor, because I was in Digital Hall North, but you guys, I mean, it seems to be pretty awesome. It's getting good reviews.
It's too early to say. Anybody who's saying it's good is doing it on a pre-beta build.
Right.
from that build release.
And also not qualifying what they mean by good. They mean that, oh, this
looks cool.
The tablet interface is smoother than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, what they mean is it's just like, right?
Yeah, which means I thought it was gonna be a turd. Right? Yeah, but it's like a C plus.
The reaction is it's interesting, which means it's not shit.
Right.
To
it means you're hedging your bet. That's most of the tech just present industry.
You're hedging your bet.
It's fine. You know, it's looking good. We'll see.
I mean, bold declaration. I think it's. I think I'm not. I'm gonna hate it. I'm gonna hate it.
You're gonna hate it.
Change is bad.
So my and again, go back. So when I'm on my tablet. You know, on my iPad.
In the toilet.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
But mostly not. I productivity, I just don't want to hammer out emails. I'll do it on a plane because I'm forced to.
Yeah.
But my laptop, my mindset switches. It's like when I'm on my iPhone playing a game versus 3DS versus, you know,
portrait
my Xbox.
Portrait or landscape most of the time.
I'm mostly portrait.
Yeah.
My typing's really fast on portrait.
Yeah.
iPad 1, not so much because the performance isn't as fast. iPad 2 is way better. TH, if you type too fast, TH is just, and it cancels each other out.
You end up with a lot of T's, yeah. I don't know, but we started on this a minute ago. Smart TV. So pretty much the only ice cream sandwich thing we saw that was new. Galaxy Nexus was there. Huh?
I was looking at Joey's monitor and I saw
pictures of us. Yeah. Was there a dumb picture of me? Yeah.
What's happening in the chat? What's cracking?
We haven't talked to those guys in a long time.
What's cracking? I miss
chat's just having fun. They haven't been asking any questions lately.
Oh, man. Good. I'm glad they're having fun.
Why don't they ask us some questions? We'll try.
I'll put the field out for some questions.
Thank you.
Okay. Chat people.
I really want to talk about the smart TV. It was really cool. I know it's
the Lenovo one.
Yeah, because we've seen a lot of really shitty app TVs.
Right.
And the problem is the performance is always bad. Like the controls are shitty. It's just not a good experience.
It's TV. It's hardware manufacturers trying to make good intuitive
software.
It's terrible. Just like why car companies, the UI in cars are atrocious.
Well, so Lenovo is one of the few companies that's made PCs over the years. That their third-party additions to the OS haven't been complete shit.
Right.
HP was pretty good for a while and kind of went on a slide recently. But, you know, the Lenovo ThinkVantage or something, all of that stuff actually makes the laptop better, right? It makes the battery last longer. It gives you a thing that, you know how when you're on the plane and your MacBook battery starts to conk out and you're like, shit, I got to turn the brightness all the way down. And you turn the keyboard backlight all the way down. You're like, maybe I should turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And they have a fucking button that you press and it's
shields
like,
down.
Make this last as long as possible. And then you're like, shit, I can't. Okay, let me shut the window. Maybe that like, nope, open up again.
It's like Star Trek Overhead Online, light, just the power meters.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So
my Asus has that.
It's like X-Wing, right? It's like X-Wing where you're, you know.
Launch all Vipers, boom.
Right. No, shields all the way up, engines down, lasers shield. Down. Yeah, exactly. So like that kind of stuff they've been good at. They condition the battery for you so that it lasts more than 1,000 cycles. Like it'll do when you reach a point where it says, oh, hey, you haven't done a complete rundown on your battery lately? You should probably do that. It's a good idea. And then it'll do it for you and it'll do it like six times. So it's extra better when you get back.
That's kind of.
I don't know if any of that shit does anything, but it makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're looking out for me, Lenovo. Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for protecting my investment in your product.
Yeah.
So there's TV.
So their TV, the performance was actually good, and the remote was in Chinese. Norm?
I didn't read it.
Don't read.
I don't read.
Right.
Period. I was able to.
Comic books, mostly.
Yeah. Another side note, why is it that every Chinese company that has a booth has the white with holes in it back wall and the same font with the same stock...
I guess they all want the same dude to build a booth.
Shenzhen.
Yeah, probably.
It's amazing. Probably look again tomorrow. Same font. It's all exact same font, same background. Maybe it's a government thing?
It's a serif font.
No, it
might be sponsored by the government.
It's a Minotype probably because at Capcom, like all Japanese companies, use the same font for all documents because it has to be able to have kanji.
Oh, on Japanese Windows. And
I'm guessing the same thing with Chinese. But anyway, just a weird aside. Let's go back to your guys' cool stuff.
Performance was good. Norm was able to figure out how to use the remote without being able to read the labels on the remote, which is always a good sign.
Yeah. So you can't
doesn't read Chinese.
No, I don't.
No. English, though, occasionally. Forced to.
So it's not a Google TV replacement?
It's not a Google TV.
Because it's not for DVR. It's not for...
What is in that?
It was drinking coffee.
It's water.
You'll never
know, actually.
You'll never know.
Cool water from Joe Joshi.
Water.
We asked questions, then we didn't go back.
We'll get it. This is important. This smart TV thing is important.
Lenovo's first TV, the panel is made by LG. Of course, it's a passive 3D TV. Has a Qualcomm 1.5 gigahertz dual core processor inside it,
okay.
And that's probably what's helping it run.
It's like it's a real machine, though.
Horsepower.
Yes. Yeah. I wouldn't play games on it. I mean, they have like Wii type games and Android racing games.
Well,
and
stuff stop like making that. Games, anyone that yeah. is in the game company, please.
The other interesting thing, well, it was like Asphalt 6, so it's a lot of like you know, Android games that have been ported over. The interesting thing about this is it also gave us a glimpse into what it's like to you buy TVs in China. Because yes. piracy is so rampant.
Yes.
All like the downloadable music movie services are free and ad driven. So you could yeah. download like Underworld 3 or it was Resident Evil 4D, 3D, the 3D
you
one.
You got the Duracell bunny in the corner during the movie?
I don't know how it works. I know that like in China when movies come out in theaters, it's already on their official like YouTube, like whatever their counterpart yeah. is. It's and you can watch
good
the movie
them,
at home
though.
For free.
Yeah. To embrace yeah. it. I mean, yeah. Yeah. figure out monetization.
Better than the way we've
would
done
never happen here.
Start yeah. suing people yeah. for years and years.
Yeah.
Take down notice.
So yeah, that I thought
or
that was
SOPA.
Really cool.
Just do that.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. We'll have a video of that up on site too. That's pretty much it. Oh, you saw the Fuji XD1, but I mean,
X-Pro
it's another Mural's camera.
Yeah,
camera.
The posts.
Yeah, there's posts
it's
and there's
very
video
expensive.
Coming.
It's very very nice.
It's essentially a Leica. You it's said Leica.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
And and 1,000 iPad and iPhone case.
We don't even wonder that shit.
No, but it's strange. Like how. Is this sustainable?
It's the goal. Honestly,
the worst iPad case you saw. I can name
it. Oh, it was pure gems. It was just gems.
It's like
the
diamond. Pure diamond.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. With like super tall
spark. In a billion
bottles,
years,
right?
why would anyone, except for three people?
I don't
know. Actual, anyway.
I saw that the iPad beanbag case. It's a small little beanbag built into the
that
case.
That was pretty dumb.
That you put your iPad in so that the iPad can rest on a beanbag on your table.
Yeah.
There was a lot of sticky, like, one-handed, like we're that lazy. Like I thought that one, the unisegue was bad enough as far as laziness.
What do you do one-handed?
Wait, Adam? So is this
and then the best part is this guy, this 400-pound guy, standing beside me. I'm no spring chicken, and he turns to me and goes, oh, "This country's so lazy." I'm like, "No doubt." Look at it. Then we have
no
that
doubt,
moment,
man.
The Chubbo moment. I'm like, "Oh Jesus, what just happened?"
It's like a Wall-E moment.
Yeah.
There.
Can I have one? Can I have two to go on the road?
Well, I just think somebody should make the wank assist. Like that's what these products are. The one-handed iPad holders. What it's for, right?
When,
why do you need
Johnny
a
used,
iPod holder?
Johnny the user just rest it. He would make a stomach so he could
rest
it and just hands free.
That's some shit I don't
while laying down.
I really never.
You taught me the technique.
Wesley,
teach me.
No, no,
just told
don't,
me about
well, we'll get an instructional video from next time he's in the office. Wesley Fenlon, what's the chat saying? What do they want to know about? Before we wrap up this incredibly long day two podcast.
Very happy to have Adam on the show.
Bullshit.
First thing they want to know, do you want another beer?
I'm good. I have an 8 o'clock conference
thank
call.
Thank you, Chat,
yeah.
for offering
for looking out
a beer.
I'm the only asshole that shows up and has a beer
it,
on
right?
the show.
But thank
everyone's
you for
like
offering.
Everyone's being very professional. Yeah, thanks for offering.
They're also curious what you think of the Vita.
The Vita. I think, so Gary said something that I inherently disagree with on Monday.
Gary has not seen the Vita, keep in mind.
I put my hands, I was at, yeah. Anyway,
you
I
put your hands on it?
I did.
Okay.
Put my hands all over it.
Okay.
I want to play Uncharted. I want to play Uncharted on that. I want to on the road.
See, I don't.
I want to
play Uncharted. So
no, see, here,
it's not really
what's
it's
wrong with you? Are you kidding?
Will has never played Uncharted 3.
No, I haven't played. I played Uncharted 1 and I played Uncharted 2, and I've had all the Uncharted I need.
But I mean, it's a. I want to play games like that on the go.
I play
I really
Skyrim
do.
On the go.
I don't. I can't play a mobile game for more than 10 minutes. Even if it's a game that I love, like Carcassonne, Risk, stuff like that, I'll play over and over and over again. But I want to hunker down. I've always said this. There's no reason why Microsoft can't put an Xbox this big and give me a portable Xbox.
Well, one of the things I love doing
and
is
that's
playing.
What that's what PlayStation's done. Sony's done that. They've made a portable PlayStation.
Like the cripplingly
the price point. I
well, battery life. Price point.
I think price point's fine. I think
no, the price point's fine. I mean, the price point of the games. Now that we have this value proposition shift, that becomes more difficult. Like me, $50.
$50 feels like a lot.
It's a lot of money nowadays.
But I mean, you don't.
I would rather get the way I game now.
PS3.
I would rather them chunk it up. I know we said episodic is a way to go. I would really rather pay $10, and then if I get to that at end of chapter 4, I pay 10 more. Because I probably will pay 50 and play it for 4 hours. Maybe
You probably pay 70 and pay it for 6 hours.
Right, and so I'd rather. Just feed it to me as I want it. But the problem is it's just not sustainable. It's not where the profit margin.
Most people aren't going to get that far into the game.
I just hope they suss out, they get all the bugs fixed. Because the stuff that I played that was more sort of Japanese content, mm-hmm. still at one point, you know, this is analog for this screen, but then I go to the next menu and it's touch. So there's a lot of ambiguity on how I control each screen.
Like the game that we were sitting in front of the demo yesterday or day before, whatever it was, it seems like about a year and a half ago, was MLB The Show 12, I guess, 13 maybe. It must be 12 because this year's game, right? I don't know. It
doesn't
matter.
They usually name it the year after.
Yeah. It's
but this year's 12. 12 to start. It'll be 12.
Exactly. I don't know. But anyway, it was the launch baseball game. Yeah. It'll be the show game. Tapping the button to pitch. I play a fair amount of video games, and there was nothing I could do to get the circle small. Tapping it exactly the right time. So either throwing the buttons is weird, or it could have been because it's floor model, but this was at the beginning of the show.
Right.
It just felt weird. It felt a little bit laggy and weird. And we were pre-release software, of course. So, I mean,
That's the thing is the stuff that I saw, like, I was blown away by the screen. It's bigger than I thought, but it's gorgeous. Like, I just bought a PlayStation TV.
Yeah.
Which I was blown away by. The 3D.
You bought the 23-inch?
Yeah, the 24-inch is $399.
The price
comes
is good.
With Motor Storm.
The price. Yeah.
Comes with the glasses. And I've always been a bet hedger with 3D. I'm like, it's just a shtick.
Yeah.
And then I played like 3 hours of MotorStorm and was like, mother of God, I've never seen anything like this.
Wow.
And it was so great.
Okay.
And then I played Resistance and Killzone. I was like, why haven't I been doing it? It was just a different.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. Like I used to be a guy that's like, 3D. But I think for that price point, especially with the thing that they have where two people can wear the glasses,
we tried that.
Different
multiplayer.
Did it work?
There's a fair amount of ghosting when there's not movement.
Okay.
But it worked. I mean, it was neat. It was definitely novel, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Samsung has an OLED that has a much faster pixel response time and much faster frame switch on the floor. You can do the exact same thing.
Right, and it's
now,
55
so.
Inches.
Yeah, it's 55 inches instead of 24. So
right.
It's
in
also
my office,
$30,000.
Perfect.
So
yeah,
it's
exactly.
A, you know, a little.
110 inches, but it costs $1 million. So I'm excited for the video.
Questions from the chat?
Yeah, this one's more for Will. Any coffee tech / distantly coffee related tech on the show floor? This comes from the Wonder Waffle.
I haven't seen any coffee tech related stuff. Yeah. Did you see any?
Great cup of coffee made by Joey.
Yeah, Joey made a fantastic cup of coffee for me last night. I remember.
Coffee underwater, just like let's talk on the phone. That's what they need for the next one.
Yeah. Couple more questions, then we're going to wrap it up. Day two is. We're 15 minutes, I think, from day two being over. I want him to post a podcast and go to bed, I'll be honest.
Lupa asks, what's Adam's favorite thing he's seen on the floor?
That's an unfair question. Same reason why my Giant Bomb top 10 list didn't get published. I only put a top 5 list because I didn't play a lot of the games this year.
Was it just
and then Ryan was just like, and then we're not, then fuck you.
RoboCop Avatar items.
Yeah, it's everything I've ever done. Scream, Mobile, no.
So you said you've been kind of stuck in one corner.
Yeah, it was the North Hall. I definitely think, like, I'm a gadget geek in stuff that I want, and the power bag, not that I run out of batteries, like, I don't get low batteries a lot, but I'm panicky about charging everything before I go somewhere.
Dude.
Like, I freak out. I have to have everything, like, overpowered and overcharged. So the battery, even though it's ridiculously overweighted and all that stuff, but the power bag, I was like, kind of like when I first saw the power mat, I'm like, I don't have to. I just drop it.
And then you realize
and
you can plug
it's
in
like,
the accessories.
Terrible, yeah.
And it's really bad.
And then it's big bulky. But power bag was just a neat gimmick. And then, like I said, the skunk thing with the just geeky stuff that.
Do you want me to blow your mind?
I do. I would love to see the world through your guys' eyes. I wish I saw more.
The outside Nathan's Hot Dogs, there's that standing bar. You can stand and eat your hot dog if you purchased it in the central concourse between North and Central. They have power plugs every like 4 or 5 feet, which is great, awesome. Those power plugs have USB ports on them now.
Two of them. Yep.
Two USB
it's magical.
Ports. It is the fucking future. You can just plug your USB shit straight into the wall.
Unless it's an iPad, and then it's like not enough power to charge this.
Oh well, I
they always I get that crush like I'm on a flight and I'm like they got USB and then I put it in it's like on Virgin.
Nope.
And Virgin also has the playable games from 1982.
Doom.
They all
do
like
what they do.
They have like,
yeah,
they just have these like clacks brick blocker. Anyway,
Wes, one more. I don't know where Drew went off to, but one more.
I like the questions from the crew.
One more coffee question from Fistful of Bacon. Does Will consider mycotoxins when picking coffee?
No.
That's a lame last question.
Yeah,
send a tweet to Will.
Yeah. If you can answer this with a yes or no,
yeah, Wes,
probably not a good question.
Wes,
if it was a yes, you would have elaborated.
That's true. Okay,
on
so you get a 50
the monkey poo coffee beans are the best.
Cats are like animal. They're not the best.
Yeah.
And actually, they're really cool to them. Yeah. Yeah, somebody sent it. Steve Lynn sent them in, I think. No, it was October Media, I think.
God, they sent cool stuff. I wish people just sent me cool stuff.
So there's two things.
Shit in the mail.
No, the civet poop coffee. Pooped. Copa Lumpi.
Yeah.
It's mean to the civets, and there's a lot of counterfeit shit coffee. So people feed
shit?
Yeah, they feed it to raccoons or something.
Shark fins too. I mean, the worst. It's just a matter of yeah.
Right. Well,
I can taste the difference, and I still
oh my real God. Shark fin soup and big shark fin.
27 years of drinking it.
Wesley Kevlin.
One more.
Give us the juice.
Okay. Devil Doll asks, have you guys seen any crazy PC parts like third-party versions of graphics cards massive coolers sticking out of them?
Okay, we're gonna take one more after this because we haven't been in the hall where all the PC stuff is yet. That's tomorrow. So. One more. Unmos.
Slim Pickens here.
Ooh, now you're throwing down with the chat.
Well, we've got a lot of questions that are just...
How many viewers?
Oh, I thought you had a question from Slim Pickens. from Beyond the Grave.
How many viewers are still up with us? 80? 85?
We got a few hundred.
There we go.
Will 4K,
thank you for watching, gentlemen.
EJ the Bad asks, will 4K TVs have any impact on the next generation of consoles or PCs?
No.
You can't.
Hey, Mark had some good insight.
It's
all about, it's going to be pushing more stuff on the screen, not necessarily a higher resolution.
I think more steady frame rate is, don't underestimate
60,
that.
60 frame. I mean, when I was at Midway, Ed Boone, Mark Trammell, Sal DeVita, they were like, no game ships less than 60.
Yeah.
And Ed had this amazing knack. One time the guys knocked MK down to 57, and he could tell.
Some people are real sensitive to that. Greg Biederman,
Ed Boone is incredible. At NVIDIA, right?
He's an editor-in-chief PC gamer and was at HP for a while. Now he's at Ubisoft. Now he is at NVIDIA. You're right. I'm sorry. He is incredibly frame rate sensitive. Like, I'll pick it up when it sags 20-30%. Dude could sit down and he'd be like, this is less than 60 frames a second.
I want 60 FPS always.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's like 40, 55 is not for me.
Yeah, Norm cranks the tail all the way up. Yeah. That'll do it for us tonight. As always, Joey, Drew, Thomas over in the video side.
Unsung heroes.
Fucking killing it this week.
Sing for the unsung heroes.
Post something nice for them in the forums because all of the video up on the site, they wouldn't happen if it weren't for them. Norm and I, there'd be like, it would be just like...
We'd be standing around doing this with no camera.
Nobody would be here. It would just be us in the room.
But you could use a 360 camera to film the whole empty room.
That's exactly right.
Or the swivel thing.
Thanks to Gary Whitta. Sorry you had to go, Gary. I hope you enjoyed your
IGN party. Tough life. Went to the IGN party. Have to run.
And say hi to Seacrest. Is that where he went? He went to the IGN party?
No, I don't think Seacrest is there.
Oh, no, I meant Gary.
No, Gary's downstairs.
Okay. Mr. Boyce, thanks. It's always a pleasure to see you, sir. I'm sorry, Braga fucked you last year. He's gone now.
Braga, you son of a bitch. I wish I saw more. I wish I had more to talk about. I'm useless.
Always insightful. Always good. Wes, thanks for manning the chat in the last half. Thanks to Matt.
Killing it.
Yeah, it's been a good show. We got one more day of CES, then the long drive home.
Oh, the big finale. No.
You sure?
Oh.
Well, it'll be fun.
Depends if Gary pulls the all-nighter.
I think Gary threatened to listen to Power for 24 hours.
Oof.
The entire drive back. Looped. I don't think any man can do that. No one man. We'll be back tomorrow with more CES. Lots of video coming up. Another day wrap up. All the crazy stuff we talked about that we saw today. There's a ton of video coming. There's a lot of CES left to come. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, I'm Will.
I'm Norm.
Bye.
Adam, bye.
Hi there, I didn't see you.
Test it.
Shoes are comfortable and you put them on. They're one of man's first inventions.
Test it.